tomorrow's news today.
It is Wednesday, August 13th, 2025. I am your host, Alex Jones. Now, I'm taping this in the morning. We're about to go live. But I got news just yesterday evening that the Democrat Party law firms, Paul Weiss, the ones that Trump sanctioned and have admitted to their lawfare, have been doing bait and switches in the Travis County, Austin, Texas courts with their Soros judge, the same one that ran the show trial 3 years ago with HBO. Now, the federal court has blocked them shutting this operation down. They had their fake auction with The Onion and Bloomberg. And remember all that last year? And tried to close this other times without court orders. So now they went into state court. We found out they had already appointed a receiver, and they were going to try to literally send in the Travis County sheriffs as early as next week. This is like their seventh or eighth attempt in the last year and a half or so. And we did all these filings and showed the judge what was happening. So then they pulled it out of Guerra's court and pulled it. And we're like, okay, they pulled the hearing. And then boom, at the 11th hour, shoot it to another court for today. So now I've got to go run down and deal with that. Again, I'm up here this morning, just worked out, was getting ready to do research, and you learned about all this. So that's why I'm not going to be here, at least for part of the show. I've got to be, you know, eyes and ears down there, you know, obviously seeing what's going on, the latest. But Chase Kodger's going to be hosting. Owen's going to be coming in. And then today, 5 to 7 p.m., I'm going to have another debate discussion with Nick Fuentes. I agree with him on some things, disagree on some others. They're trying to go drag us back into war with Iran. Fuentes thinks, you know, Trump's launching this police state. Obviously, I think that's not the case, and I understand what he's doing is constitutional and an answer to the left planning all this insurrection. But is Trump really planning martial law? We're going to debate that. But long before I debate all those topics and issues with him at from 5 to 7 p.m., we'll launch our own streams at X. We're all at Jones. It'll be on Infowars.com/show, and you'll be able to pick those shows as well. I'll be covering all that today because when I'm on the road, I'm going to be shooting reports on that as well. Plus, Matt Taibbi, he is a liberal, very good journalist, never BS's, incredible integrity. He's come out, we'll play a clip next segment, and said exactly what I've been telling you now for about 4 months. So I've talked to some of the same people. They have every intention of the Justice Department, they got real prosecutors like Ed Martin and others, to indict Hillary Clinton, Comey, Brennan, Clapper, and the rest of them. And the grand juries are now open for the first time. Now, there's ways for the deep state to manipulate those grand juries and things, so it isn't done yet. But this is different than what we saw in the first Trump administration. It's all coming up today. Thank you so much for your support. Remember, you're the Paul Revere's. The bad guys want this show off for a reason because it's effective and it's truthful and it mobilizes not just Americans, but free peoples worldwide. So you're the Paul Revere's. Share the live feed now, right now, at Real Alex Jones on X and at AJN Live on X, our backup, and Infowars.com/show. And tell people about all the stations you're listening to as well. And tell those you share it with to share it. That completes the chain reaction. We'll be right back with my analysis on the incoming indictments they're trying to get, all the breaking news, the big peace summit with Putin and Trump in Alaska, and more today, right here at the tip of the spear, because the answer to 1984 is 1776. Now share those live feeds.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geiser, your host for the first hour of the transmission today. We have more from Alex Jones on the other side of this one-minute break coming up in 1 minute. Owen Schroyer will be hosting the second hour of the show today, as well as the third hour, and I'll be coming back in and taking calls for the final hour of the broadcast before Owen takes over again for the War Room, leading up to the historic conversation between Nick Fuentes and Alex Jones, set for 5 p.m. Central. And we are going to be getting into everything that's happening with Putin and Trump in Alaska this Friday. What's really going on? Trump's come out and said that, hey, he's sick of the telephone game with Russia. We're just going to meet together face to face. Zelensky's obviously upset that he hasn't been included in this meeting. Even reports coming in just now that Trump tells Zelensky and European leaders that conceding Ukrainian territory will be necessary. So things are certainly heating up on the Ukraine front, plus so much more. So make sure you stay with us and make sure you go to the AlexJonesStore.com right now. It'll be the reason that InfoWars and Alex Jones will always be on the air. Stay with us for more from Alex Jones on the other side of this 1 minute break.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultra methylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, This isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
It is Wednesday, August 13th, 2025. I'm your host, Alex Jones. Thank you so much for joining us today. I've had to rush down to emergency court developments and hearings with the Democrats doing bait and switches, still trying to shut down this operation. Chase Geiser is about to come in live, and so much more, and I'll be back in studio as soon as I can today. We have so much to cover, so much intense information. That's why the bad guys want us off air, so they can put out their false narratives. Now, here's the big false narrative that they're pushing, their latest hoax, okay? And we told you back in August of 2020 this would be their narrative, that they were unable to steal the election from Trump. And when they were able to steal it, they shelved it. It's the Podesta battle plan that's public to have blue states secede, blue cities secede, have a civil war based around race-based uprisings. And they've been saying, Trump's coming to kill the migrants. Trump's coming to kill the black people. You've already seen that everywhere. No King's protest, all the rest of it. Then we enter the zone of the deep state attacking illegal alien protests, saying a Trump supporter did it. That is in the cards. That's the next shoe to drop. And now you see the Drudge Report. Oh, police state, martial law, Trump's the king. They're watching citizens. Oh, a lactating mother was held. Oh, they raided a school. Oh, they're so mean. We've had over 1.5 million people die from fentanyl. We have millions of people that have been brought in as slaves, sex slaves. Now it's almost 500,000 kids that got disappeared by Mayorkas on purpose. And all the illegal aliens killing and raping and drunk driving and just all these countries dumping criminals on us, the MS-13, all of it, the TDA. And then, oh, but the media is all there everywhere to attack ICE and act like they're terrible and then never really report on the cinder blocks and the ICE getting shot and killed and the firebombing and their facilities getting shot up in Texas. This is not a police state. The Democrats were gearing the military up in their own training manuals. Remember, I'm the expert on this, made all the films about it. Been warning about it. For civil unrest and a communist uprising they've been planning for decades and trying to launch, and then use this to bring in martial law and gun confiscation. That's not happening with Trump. He's got the National Guard Rapid Reaction Force ready that was already there. They're just upgrading it. The media is acting like it's new. It's totally constitutional when you have these cities descending into total collapse, when you have these attacks on federal officers, when you have these gangs and people saying they're going to resist, and they are, and then they, you know, go to pot farms and find 14 kids in slavery and they're shooting at ICE and all the rest of this, they brought us into the chaos. They brought us into the Civil War scenario with all the movies and all the hype, and then they said it's their plan. So they're the ones initiating it. Now, remember, all those judges that said Trump's ICE can't deport illegal aliens, even ones that, you know, had long rap sheets, and, of course, the appeals court said that those judges abuse their authority, and it's a total fraud. It's all totally constitutional. And it's totally constitutional for the president to put the National Guard on the streets during lawlessness, during collapse. Just like when Austin defunded the police and crime tripled, the governor took control of Austin and put the state police in. He could have put the state guard in because that's the central government in the federalist system. Now, this isn't Trump setting up checkpoints to keep lockdowns going like the Democrats had. This isn't Trump surrounding the Capitol and putting up fences so citizens can't go in, claiming the general public are terrorists. This isn't Biden saying the number one terror threat is white supremacy with absolutely no evidence of that, and an open season to beat up and attack white people everywhere pushed by the left. No, this is Trump following the Constitution and gearing up for the civil unrest the Democrats are already admitting they're trying to trigger to drive him from power because he's a dictator who was elected popularly and the Electoral College. It's all a lie. And here's the key now. Here's the key. Trump is also gearing up because the federal officers are totally overwhelmed. There's so few, only 5,000 actual border enforcers at ICE to round people up of the 20 million that came in under Biden. Here's the key. The Democrats know these indictments are coming. This isn't 8 years ago. There's now grand juries for the first time, not secret ones, not all the Q stuff, real ones. This isn't Hillary secretly held at Gitmo and all that delusional crap and JFK Jr. is coming back on a magic carpet. This is real. These are real grand juries. Not in D.C., in Florida and other states. And I've got the intel that I've been asked to not say it all. Now, Matt Taibbi, very respected, a liberal, but very accurate reporting, said, look, I've talked to a lot of senior people, and they understand that the deep state's got to be taken out. I'll play the clip in a moment. They understand that the public will not put up with people not being indicted. They understand that's the number one issue for people is justice. And they understand that Trump is going to be targeted along with us and the Democrats and this cabal of ringleaders like Adam Schiff and the rest of them, who's also got grand juries up and on his ass, and Letitia James and Fannie Willis and Bill Barr and all the rest of them. So they're all getting subpoenaed by the Republicans. The Clinton Foundation for the human trafficking, for the money laundering. The grand juries are getting opened everywhere. It's not just one. I'm told it's five. You're going to start hearing the details of all of this. And that's why we're in the maximum danger for the deep state that's not in full control anymore, launching the false flags for the uprising, cyber attacks, claiming the Russians did it. God knows what they'll pull to try to stop the peace deal Trump's ramming through. And that's the other big takeaway. If Zelensky and NATO don't take this deal that's already been done between Russia and the United States, the U.S. is getting out of the war, and we fund 85% of it and run all the missile control and intelligence. So it's over, okay? NATO doesn't have the troops, doesn't have the money. So that huge event's coming, and the deep state doesn't want that either. And Russia's warning of false flags. The Ukrainians and the CIA have already been caught doing false flags. The missiles into Poland, Nord Stream, all of them. Really blame Putin for that. So it's going down. We're in a prime zone of all these insane things coming together right now. This is so historic. And we elected Trump. He's doing most of the things we wanted. RFK Jr.'s knocking it out of the park. They're scaling up Border Patrol. It's all happening. And the bad guys know that they're redistricting to stop the Democrat fraud in these key states where it's totally one-sided. They have the Election Integrity Commission coming in. They're cutting off funding to the states that won't do voter ID. Trump is doing a lot of good to reform things, okay? We wish he'd do more. We wish he'd do better. But compared to what he did 8 years ago, this is night and day. So we bitch about the bad that's been done and try to keep on the straight and narrow, but we promote and push the good that's happening, and it way outweighs the bad. I'm getting chills right now. So will they go after the grand juries? Will they threaten them? The CIA has threatened members of the Senate Intelligence Committee before it spied on them. I mean, they're willing to do that to senators, yeah. We haven't gotten indictments yet, but the grand juries for the first time, the real ones, this is real. This isn't made up stuff. This isn't cartoons. This isn't fiction. That's why the deep state's so dangerous, and they know justice is coming. So you want somebody to stand up and fight the globalists? It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. Trump is reasserting national sovereignty over this country. Is he too cozy with the Israel lobby and some of that? Yeah, we're heading that off at the pass, too. But the point is, it's night and day compared to the Democrats that we know are pure, satanic, evil, openly pushing pedophilia publicly and trafficking children publicly. And we know Homan and them are busting them in mass, and even more indictments are coming on that front. That's guaranteed as well. So this is the collision. This is the crescendo. We're winning battles, but we haven't won the war yet. Here is Matt Taibbi saying, no, he hears this time. And remember, he was always saying no indictments before. He says, no, it's going down. Even if they don't think they can prove the cases because they've covered up so well, they're still going for it. That's what I got told by high level, too. They said, that's why we may indict folks in your case coming after you. It's the same law firms, Democrats, because they got sloppy with you, Jones. And they did. We caught them red-handed. The stuff we got in civil cases against them. No, it's all premeditated, all just fraud. It's just unbelievable. Total rigging. The courts, everything. It's insane. We have them. So I got to run off and do all that right now. Here's Matt Taibbi. Chase Geiser's coming with the latest news, fast-paced. You're the Paul Revere. Share the live feed right now at Relox Jones. I'll be debating Nick Fuentes today in a special broadcast. You'll find it at Relox Jones on X. bet. And there'll be a link at InfoWars.com at 5 p.m. today, Central. So be sure to stay with us for that. But here is Matt Taibbi.
I think there are going to be indictments. I was very skeptical on that question even a couple of weeks ago, but I have heard repeatedly from these folks that they understand that this is not a hearts and minds contest and that they are not doing this for show, and that if they don't end up in a courtroom, that they will, this will be a massive political failure for them. So I do think that there will be significant indictments. I just don't know what for. I mean, I think that's a very important question to ask right now. We know the grand jury has been convened, but they haven't really given us a strong indication about what crimes they might be investigating.
It has to be that. I mean, that's what we've seen with all of these things. I mean, even the Durham thing that just came up, you know, the cases that he made, right? The guy pleaded guilty to fuck him with an email. And then the other two guys, it was, you lied to us, and they lost both cases. So, you know, that's what it always comes down to.
So that's a good point. But what I've heard from these folks is that they understand how that, the optics of that and what that looks like to voters. And they are going to try for, I think, something more substantive, even if it comes up short.
Do you think that the Clintons wind up being exposed to prosecution?
I keep being told that. I'm not sure I understand how that can be the case, but I keep being told that Hillary Clinton is actually a target in these investigations. It may turn out that something having to do with her original email situation will be wrapped into some kind of conspiracy case, but I don't know what it is and I don't see it. So I would call, I mean, this is me, the careful reporter, saying I would caution people not to think that there's anything there yet before we see it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geiser, your host of the Alex Jones Show, for the next 43 minutes or so before Owen Schroyer takes over. Those are words from Alex Jones, who is fighting the information war on a different front today with some spontaneous new developments in the legal case. And people tend to become callous to some of our claims about what's happening here at InfoWars, because by the grace of God, and frankly what I believe to be divine intervention, this network stays on the air time and time again, regardless of the onslaught of assaults that have taken place. And really that's because of you, the listeners, supporting us at the Alex Jones Store and keeping us on the air, plus other miracles. But I've been here for over 2 years now, and I can tell you behind the scenes, it is absolutely insane the level to which lawfare has been waged against InfoWars. We were kicked out of the building for a day last year. It was insane that they pulled the plug and took down the websites and forced us to change the DNS records so they wouldn't direct to anything. Then we did have to broadcast out of a backup studio, a backup operation, and they are doing everything they can to shut us down at all times. And it's always changing. It's in flux. It's like Heraclitus said about a river. It's always changing, yet always the same. It's the same river, but it's never in the same exact form. And whenever a man steps into a river, he's never stepping into the same river twice. That's what's happening with this lawfare. They always pivot and they change. And finally, it looks like we have a president, an administration in the White House that is waging the same lawfare against these satanic globalist leftists that they waged against us. Of course, the only difference is we're actually justified in waging lawfare against them because they're actually criminals when we are not. So I'm hopeful that what's developing is actually going to amount to real indictments. And Matt Taibbi, definitely a respected journalist. He had a falling out, a major falling out with Elon Musk. Elon Musk hates Matt Taibbi by all indicators that I've seen online. And so we'll see what this really plays out, if he's full of it or not. But it is hard to believe that anything's going to amount to indictments in these cases, because if we look historically at the way that corruption has been dealt with, it just hasn't been dealt with. I mean, if nobody got in trouble for JFK, then who will? If nobody got in trouble for MKUltra, then who will? If nobody got in trouble for the fact that MKUltra was never really even shut down, then who will? If nobody really got in trouble for 9/11, then who will? If nobody really got in trouble for COVID-19, then who will? We don't even blame our enemies when our enemies do enemy stuff, like steal F-35Bs or intentionally spread a pandemic all over the face of the planet after participating in gain-of-function research. So I want to see the Fauci's role for lying to Congress about gain of function research. I want to see the Clappers and the Brennans and the Comeys all go to prison. I want to see the Hillary Clintons held accountable. Frankly, I don't even know if it's within the statute of limitations, some of the stuff that Hillary Clinton did 10 years ago. And of course, Bill Clinton could argue presidential immunity for anything that he did while he was the president of the United States, nothing that he did after the fact. But how do you go after Bill Clinton without releasing the Epstein list? That's tricky to me. And I think Taibbi makes a really good point. He's like, yeah, it seems like they are serious about really wanting indictments, but what isn't clear is what is going to be the specific charges that are brought. I mean, I could go through the list and name how all these people are traitors. Adam Schiff, others. I mean, I have clip after clip on the desk today of how Adam Schiff was leaking documents intentionally. Comey was leaking documents intentionally. All these things seem to me to be brazen indicators of straight up treason. And we've even got the Beto O'Rourke saying F the rules. You remember that faggot Beto O'Rourke who always loses yet somehow always gets coverage? I mean, I was calling Charlie Kirk a faggot last week, but if there was ever a faggot that was more faggoty, it's Beto O'Rourke. I want to show you clip 11. Beto O'Rourke tells J.B. Pritzker, Gavin Newsom, and Kathy Hochul and others, the Democrat governors, to redraw their districts to eliminate Republican seats. Let's watch.
I also don't want Gavin Newsom and J.B. Pritzker and Kathy Hochul and any other Democrat who has unitary power in their state to wait for Texas to go first. I want us to seize the initiative instead of awaiting the punch thrown by these would-be fascists to hit us in the face and then respond. I want us to punch first, and I want us to punch harder. So I want them to redraw those districts right now, right now.
You're damn right I'm going to take your gun. In fact, right now, I'd just like to challenge Beto O'Rourke to a lawful duel under Texas Penal Code 22.06. I would love to consensually smack that man in the face. Even if I lost the fight, it would be worth it if I just got one good one in. I formally challenge Beto O'Rourke to a duel under Texas Penal Code 22.06. He hates guns so much. Why don't you put your fists up? Let's just go at it, because somebody needs to lawfully convince that man to participate in a fight so that they can just mop the floor with his face, his buck teeth, and his BS. You look at the man. What is it with these supervillains and their ability to eat an apple through a picket fence? Pickles right out of the jar, from AOC to Beto O'Rourke to Seville. All these people. Apples right through a picket fence. Oh, I'm scared. I was involved in hacking. I got in trouble for breaking into a facility, and I'm so cool, and I'm just so hip. I mean, look at this guy. He's like the Texas version of Justin Trudeau. I'm skating around at a Whataburger. Look how cool and hip I am. I just fit right in. I mean, oh. And here he has the audacity in clip 12 to spew dangerous rhetoric comparing President Trump to Hitler. Watch this.
We have watched the open display of a criminal network operating in the highest positions of power and public trust. They are scared because they have assumed that there will never be accountability. Remember, Donald Trump promised us he would be a dictator on day one. He promised us that if you vote in the 2024 elections, that's the last time you'll ever have to cast a ballot. It took Hitler just 53 days to destroy German democracy. At every major turn, every time he exceeded his authority, defied the German constitution, broke down the rule of law in that country, the German press, the German politicians, the German public, most importantly, did too little, too late.
Oh, Donald Trump is Hitler. You're the one advocating for taking away everybody's firearms. It's funny how the Democrats call us Nazis, but everything they do is fascist. Definition of fascism being centralized state control of all businesses. Businesses are still technically private, but not really private. I mean, it sounds like everything we've heard about former administrations in terms of their relationships, particularly with Fortune 500 companies. If a company is publicly traded in the United States of America, it is in bed with almost 100% correlation with the federal government. It's either a major DOD contractor, defense contractor, contractor for the federal government in other ways, or the intelligence community has people embedded in the board of directors. And we know how insidious a board of directors could be. Look what the board of directors of Apple did to Steve Jobs, company founded in his own garage with Wozniak, fired the founder, almost ruined the company over the course of several years, and then had to beg for Steve Jobs to come back and give him unilateral authority in order to save the company. Comes out with the iPod, then the iPad, then the iPhone. In quick succession, brings it back from, what was it, the Newton? or some trash that they were trying to invent in the 90s. But here's a deranged bit of work going on in clip 14 on a profanity-laced rant. Who cares about the effing rules now? Win some effing power. That sounds like a fascist to me. Watch.
We are in a basketball game right now, if you'll excuse the metaphor, where the refs have left
the arena on the court.
And the other side is just clobbering the shit out of us, just punching us in the face, kicking us in the nuts. And we're kind of throwing our hands up and we're asking the crowd, the people of America, hey, do you see what's going on here? This is unfair. This isn't the rules that we agreed to play by. Well, who cares about the rules right now? Punch back, kick back, dunk over their heads and win some power.
Trump is Hitler, but you got Beto O'Rourke saying, who cares about the rules? Who cares about the Constitution? Let's just throw out everything about our constitutional republic so that we can win power. I mean, who's more Hitlerian than Beto O'Rourke here? And frankly, if you're going to compare somebody to Hitler, at least find somebody who seems to hate the Jews. Donald Trump has been a major supporter of Israel for the entirety of his adulthood. In rhetoric and in action, Jerusalem gets the embassy, he bombs Iran on behalf of Netanyahu, they're all hugging and kissing and shaking hands, and Netanyahu's nominating Trump for Nobel Prizes, and I'm not trying to go on another rant that you've already heard 1,000 times about how terrible Israel is. You all know it, I know it, we know it. Point is, you can't compare somebody like Donald Trump to Hitler. I guess the only thing they have in common is they both supported the notion of Israel, but for completely different reasons. Trump for national security reasons and Hitler because he wanted the Jews out of Germany. That's like the only way that they're Hitlerian in any way. There's no Gestapo running around. There's no Kristallnacht happening. There's no arrests of ethnic groups. Yes, it's true that illegal migrants are being kicked out of the country, but they weren't supposed to be here to begin with. Hitler was kicking citizens out of the country, Jewish citizens. I guess the only way that you could potentially say that Donald Trump is Hitlerian is in his support for Israel, given that Israel is committing a genocide in Gaza Strip. So maybe that's a little Hitlerian, but really indirectly, I mean, it is a stretch to say so. And after all, those of us who support Israel know that the Holocaust was the only bad genocide, right? Anyway, we're coming up on a break in about a minute and a half. On the other side, we're going to get more into the Zelensky-Putin stuff that's happening this Friday in Alaska. Obviously, Zelensky's not even really involved in it. In the meantime, please check out the new Bovine Colostrum Plus at thealexjonesstore.com. I took some yesterday with my methylene blue. It was absolutely incredible the way that I felt. Frankly, I think if Romulus and Remus would have been suckling the Bovine Colostrum Plus from thealexjonesstore.com instead of whatever that wolf was spewing out in that famous myth, Rome probably never would have fallen. If Napoleon was on the Bovine Colostrum Plus, he would have totally succeeded in all of his conquests. Hitler would have won in Operation Barbarossa, and Stalin would have won the Battle of Stalingrad within 7 days if he was on the Bovine Colostrum Plus. You have to experience the incredible benefits that you will notice within 1 day. It's not one of those things that's got to build up over weeks. You take this, you mix it with a little methylene blue or nothing at all, or just put it in your morning shake, whatever you do. You will experience the cellular recovery, defense matrix, energy, and just continuity of focus like never before. This was our bestseller yesterday. The first product that has beaten Methylene Blue in sales since we launched Methylene Blue several months ago. Please experience the incredible benefits of Bovine Colostrum Plus, and not just because it's incredible for your cells and your gut and your immune system and your focus and your energy, but because it keeps InfoWars on the air. It keeps Alex Jones on the air, even if all of these lawsuits go south imminently and they try to shut this place down and kick us out of this building. We will be on the air if enough of you go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and buy Bovine Colostrum Plus. Stay with us for more news on the other side of this very short break.
At thealexjonesstore.com, I bring you whatever I personally think is the best and the coolest. That's our marketing plan. This knife sells all day long in stores for $100 or more. We bought a whole bunch of us. We can sell it to you for $78. Stainless steel, blacked out, double-edged, razor sharp, 1776 on the hilt, high-tech scabbard, hooks on your belt, doesn't come out, is amazing, right now at thealexjonesstore.com for 40% off despite the fact it's selling out. And then this, World War II updated trench knife, 10 inches, razor sharp, stainless steel, Spartan, tip of the spear. You can get this massively discounted up to 40% off right now with the Blades and Bullion Super Sale at thealexjonesstore.com. And that goes for these four silver collectible coins that are selling out as well, up to 40% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. So take action.
Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and at Funzer Operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexJonesStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam, from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew, and Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this methylene blue. This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
Unless you've been hiding under a rock, everyone knows that Shilajit is one of the most incredible super nutrients, and they don't even know how it's formed deep under the earth. It's just got incredible amino acids and natural peptides that nothing else has. And what does it do for you? Everything. Your skin, your clarity, your focus. I'm on this stuff. Your wife, your girlfriend will thank you. That's just a little side issue. Shilajit's awesome, but this is the best, purest, strongest Shilajit with a whole bunch of other badass stuff in it. We throw the kitchen sink at you because we want it to work, and it will. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. So get this great t-shirt design and hundreds of others, the biggest selection, at thealexjonesstore.com, funding the Second American Revolution worldwide. God almighty.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
From the tip of the spear to the edge of tomorrow, here's what happens next from your host, Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geyser, your host of the Alex Jones Show. For the next 24 minutes, we do have another word from Alex Jones that we're going to be airing in a few minutes. As he fights the information war on the legal front, Owen Schroyer will be taking over and hosting for a couple of hours at noon, right after the next break. And then I'll be back on in the final hour of the broadcast to take calls as Owen prepares for the war room. 2 hours of the war room today, and then we're going to go straight in to the historic debate between Alex Jones and Nick Fuentes. I want to get into a little bit of this Ken Paxton story. I'm not trying to do local news, Texas news. I know it's boring. I hate hearing about local news. I get people that DM me all the time. They say, my local sheriff's corrupt. Look what he did. My first thought is, next! Everybody's local sheriff is corrupt. Who cares? I'm interested in the globalists versus the national sovereigntists, the nationalists, the populists. I'm interested in major issues like, is war with Ukraine going to escalate to World War III? Is the war with Israel and Iran and basically the rest of the world, they've alienated everyone, going to escalate to World War III? Is India and Pakistan going to escalate? Is China and Taiwan going to escalate? I'm interested in the big movers, the big shakers, the big issues, like is freedom of speech going to totally die if we allow what's happening to InfoWars to happen to InfoWars? That's what I'm interested in. But Ken Paxton says that Beto O'Rourke openly defied a judge's order to cease fundraising for the House Democrats who fled the state. Let's watch, because we have to nip this in the bud.
Or is there a bigger reason?
No, that's pretty much it. You saw it right there. There was already a temporary restraining order that stopped him from raising money. And he was at that rally clearly raising money for not political reasons, which would have been appropriate. He was raising it for personal expenses to help these Democrats in Texas evade their responsibilities. That's the problem. And he was ordered by a judge to stop fundraising. And he said, basically, he just continued to do it.
So Beto is responding to your threats to put him in jail. He says, quote, he's lying you about me to try and silence us. We alerted the court that the AG's office blatantly lied in its filing. We're seeking a maximum sanction in response to his abuse of office, taking the fight directly to this corrupt, lying thug. He also says that you're trying to intimidate him because he's a political rival. What is your response to that?
Well, I mean, thug is really when he gets kind of nasty. He uses that word a lot. But the reality is, you heard his words. The judge gave him a direct order, which was, you can no longer fundraise. And in his rally, he clearly violated that order. It's not even questionable. So, look, we're just following the law. He is not following the law, and that's where his problems lie, not with me. My job is to enforce the law, and that's exactly what I plan on doing.
Well, it seems like the Democrats who fled are trying now to obey the law. It seems like, according to ABC News, that Democrats are going to return to Texas because they feel they have accomplished their mission of killing the first special session, raising awareness, and sparking national backlash about the mid-decade redistricting. So, A, have they won their battle? And B, do you expect them to get back to work instead of having to arrest them?
Look, I don't know if they've won their battle. The reality is the goal here is to redistrict. We're going to do it. They delayed it by, you know, maybe a month. So I don't consider that a victory. I suppose they got some national attention. I don't know that it was all good national attention. I think most Texans found it reprehensible that they left the state and didn't fight like you would normally do in legislative session, not in Illinois and all these other states that actually have already gerrymandered by large margins. So it's a little ironic and a little hypocritical to laud these other states that you went to and say that somehow Texas is doing something wrong.
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting to see Beto back on the political field after he lost so many elections.
Interesting to see Beto back on the political field after he lost so much. He was always just a puppet, just like Zelensky's a puppet. And speaking of Zelensky war in Ukraine, we have this breaking now. Trump just warns Putin there will be very severe consequences for Russia if Putin doesn't agree to stop the Ukraine war after Friday. Let's watch.
Russia face any consequences if Vladimir Putin does not agree to stop the war after your meeting on Friday?
Yes, they will. Yeah.
What will the consequences be?
There will be consequences.
Sanctions, tariffs?
There will be very severe consequences, yes.
And look, that's part of the negotiation tactic. Anybody who's read The Art of the Deal, regardless of whether they think Trump had much to do with writing it, certainly based off of Trump's philosophy, you come in hard, you have big asks, and then you negotiate from there. But Carolyn Leavitt, this is clip 18, says President Trump is pushing for a face-to-face meeting with Vladimir Putin to cut through the game of telephone and work toward ending the war. So more on this from Carolyn Leavitt here, 18.
And the president said at this podium yesterday when he joined all of you in the room that he hopes in the future there can be a trilateral meeting with these three leaders to finally bring this conflict to an end. But this administration has really used every lever, has taken every measure to achieve peace through a diplomatic solution. And I think the president of the United States getting in the room with the president of Russia, sitting face to face rather than speaking over the telephone, will give this president the best indication of how to end this war and where this is headed.
U.S. and Russia propose West Bank-style occupation of Ukraine. Russia and the United States have discussed Israel's occupation of the West Bank as a model for ending the war in Ukraine, the Times has been told. Under this scenario, Russia would have military and economic control of occupied Ukraine under its own governing body, imitating Israel's de facto rule of Palestinian territory seized from Jordan in 1967. The idea was raised weeks ago in discussions between Steve Witkoff, President Trump's peace envoy, and his Russian counterparts, according to a source close to the U.S. National Security Council. So let's just turn it into another hell zone, another open air prison. I guess it's a little bit different, though, because much of the territory that's been occupied by Russia in Ukraine is actually ethnically Russian, Russian-speaking. They were in a civil war anyway. They wanted to break away. So it seems different to me. It's not like the West Bank wanted to break away and be part of Israel. And so now it's some peaceful version of this. But Zelensky insists that Putin is bluffing as Trump says he'll push for a ceasefire. Of course, Zelensky wants this war to go on for as long as possible, would engage even in things like false flags after a ceasefire was negotiated to perpetuate this conflict because, after all, the only reason that Vladimir Zelensky, who I fondly refer to as Voldemort Zelensky, draws breath is because he's able to take the aid from the United States and pay off his military leadership around him not to kill him. So when the cash dries up, then these guys are just going to be sick of the fact that they're sending their men to the meat grinder, and it's going to be an Operation Valkyrie all over again. I mean, I would be very surprised if Zelensky is alive in 2026. It's possible there's some peaceful way out of this. I mean, if Gorbachev was able to get out of the Soviet Union and die at the ripe old age of 89 with a net worth in the multi-millions, I'm pretty golden for him, given the fact that he oversaw an incredibly corrupt nation that underwent a collapse under his leadership. He was never whacked. Incredible feat. Maybe Zelensky could do the same thing in Ukraine, but Zelensky's no Gorbachev. Not the brightest star in the sky. By any means. He's more like an Adam Schiff or a Comey or one of these other dipshits that we have that just engages in the corruption and thinks they'll always get away with it because of their hubris, that pride that comes before the fall. In fact, Benny Johnson here in clip 15, U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro says Adam Schiff leaking classified Russian information to the media is a serious case right in her wheelhouse, and she's committed to investigating it. Let's watch that.
Adam Schiff. Today, there was an FBI 302 that has now been declassified by Cash Patel. It's gone to Congress, and it's about Adam Schiff leaking classified information. It's a whistleblower from his office, and the documents are here, and they're public. And Brett Tolman is saying, well, you listen, you know, only the U.S. Attorney for Washington, D.C. can make a decision on a case like this. And so my question is open-ended. Have you reviewed these documents? Are you familiar with the Adam Schiff's and the criminal conspiracy to leak against President Trump? Do you plan on investigating?
You know what, Benny? I think you know that this is my wheelhouse. And the difference between me and some other people is that I don't talk about what I'm investigating. I don't talk about what I'm doing. When I have the evidence, when I have enough to go forward, you will hear from me loud and clear.
And it wasn't just the Adam Schiffs involved in leaking information, lying about the Russian collusion. Now it's alleged he's engaged in mortgage fraud. Pencil neck Schiff, shifty Schiff, is just one example of the litany of crimes and corruption that we have in the Senate and the House. On both sides, by the way. This is not just against the Democrats. Democrats seem to be much more rampant about it than Republicans. But it's just incessant. I mean, we have Nancy Pelosi coming out and saying she's working to protect gender transitions for children at the national level. As if any child would be safe whatsoever with Nancy Pelosi in any capacity whatsoever. But I want to go to clip 29 here. James Comey has just been exposed for ordering the FBI to leak classified information to the New York Times. Let's watch this.
This is a very long piece that you have here.
Yeah.
It is a worthwhile read. I'll let you sum it up, and then I want your conclusion on what you're finding here, because to me it's very damning.
Well, what you find out is that James Comey decided not to work for the FBI press office when he wanted to change the narrative in Washington, burnish his reputation against attacks from Democrats, and try to sully Donald Trump's reputation. If you remember, Democrats were mad that James Comey let out of the bag just before the election that there might be some new evidence in the Hillary Clinton email scandal. Hillary blamed Comey for throwing the election. She blamed the Russians for throwing elections. She blamed everybody but herself for throwing the election for her. But Comey was trying to rehabilitate that. And so he had an intermediary, a Columbia Law professor by the name of Daniel Richmond, who the FBI confirmed and interviewed. And Richmond said, yes, I used my relationship with a New York Times reporter named Michael Schmidt. He's one of the authors of the Pulitzer Prize winning package that President Trump is now suing over. And my goal was to improve negative stories about James Comey and to set a narrative, i.e. set the Russia collusion narrative. This guy worked around the official channels of the FBI press office. And at one point, the FBI noted, you met with James Comey. He gave you access to classified information. A short while later, you had a conversation with that New York Times reporter, and he ends up reporting something that appears to be classified. Did you do it? And he gives, I think, perhaps the most famous denial people will remember since Bill Clinton says it depends what the meaning of the word is when he tried to obfuscate whether he had an affair with Monica Lewinsky. He says, I can say, I don't think I confirmed the information. I can say with a discount that I didn't give him the classified information. With a discount means you got to give me some room. It's an extraordinary moment. The FBI clearly had strong suspicions that this was a potential backdoor for information, maybe classified information to get out to the media with James Comey's fingerprints on it. And they didn't go much further. They didn't put Comey before the grand jury, that we can tell. They didn't appear to put this gentleman, Daniel Richmond, before the grand jury. And like Adam Schiff, as we told you last night, here they have an eyewitness whistleblower who said, I was in the room when he authorized leaks of intel. These end up being a dead end again. And it's another reminder of a dual system of justice that the Justice Department had the last 6 years. These are documents that were never given to Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan confirmed that to me today. And we're just learning 8 years later, because of what Kash Patel turned over, that the FBI had all the evidence of how the false narrative of Russia collusion was spread across this country to the detriment of voters, to the detriment of President Trump's first campaign, and they did nothing about it.
It's a credit to the FBI. It's a credit to Kash Patel. It's a credit to the people that are involved in sharing this information now with the public. Do you see legal jeopardy here?
I think if Pam Bondi goes the grand jury route, that these are people that are going to be hauled before the grand jury. I want to remind people, most classified information statutes have a 5-year statute of limitations, but there is a provision that extends it to 10 years if it's willing and knowing. And there is some pretty clear evidence of a strong apparatus put in place to make these leaks occur, according to the FBI documents. I think a grand jury could go back and try to compel testimony and find out if it rises to the level of criminality. Tomorrow, though, I think we're going to take people on a new destination, which is how often did the FBI get blocked in trying to investigate Hillary Clinton corruption at the Clinton Foundation? You're going to be shocked by the answer.
So it looks like the pressure is actually finally coming down on many of these people. I'm not sure if Hillary Clinton's going to get it, but somebody seems like they're actually going to get it. Real indictments. They've got the grand juries. They've never done this before. I'm optimistic about it. Now, if history is a precedent, then we've got an issue, because it seems like corruption never gets held accountable ever until there's some sort of a revolution or a civil war or a regime change that takes place. But we're going to get into more news on the other side. Cincinnati Children's Hospital doctor federally charged with possessing over 153,000 images and 470 videos of child sexual abuse. Absolutely disgusting. Secretary of State Marco Rubio confirming the U.S. is moving to designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. We've got other leaders calling ICE a terrorist organization. So everything's heating up in the information war, but before we get into all the latest news, first, a word from Alex Jones.
Now, here's something else. People keep asking, why do you have the best stuff? How do you have the best stuff? Why do you continue to just have supplements that are so much better than everybody else's? Because we go out exhaustively and find out who the top-rated, top sellers already are. There's usually two or three brands out of hundreds of each thing. And we go to them and we say, we'd like to private label it. And in almost every case, they say yes. Sometimes we have to sign an agreement not to say what we're getting from, because they don't want to get political backlash. It's not rocket science. I go out and I get whatever's already the best and already has the best ratings, is already the most tested, and then I bring it to you. Wow, what a thought. So I've been hearing about this for years, and now it's all the rage. And about a year ago, they did a survey of the customers at thealexandstore.com about 11 months ago and said, what is it you want the most? What product would you like to have? A lot of you got that email. And the number one thing was bovine colostrum. Now, it took them 6-8 months to find the best place. This is the highest rated, private labeled, 2,000 milligram per serving. And if you don't know what colostrum is, let me tell you. A cow's a mammal, we're a mammal. A dog's a mammal, a blue whale's a mammal. A killer whale is a mammal. I know most of you know that. And mammals drink milk from their mother's breasts. Now, whales have breasts. And the first milk of the first few weeks is called colostrum, and it's more clear, and it's full of all of the immunity and all the super nutrients. And it's basically God's vaccine. That's what the hospital systems today try to keep women from breastfeeding. And, oh, go ahead and give them formula. Oh, no, take your baby away. Don't do that. Because it's all baked in to make your kid unhealthy. So bovine colostrum has been given as a superfood going back in Germany 60, 70, 80 years. And, you know, if your kid was sickly or whatever, they would say, get a cow's colostrum, the first milk, right after it has a baby. Yeah, just get it from a regular dairy cow. And they would also say the best is actually a donkey's colostrum. They say it's even better than humans. Goat colostrum's good, too. And it's expensive, okay? So I'm not going to lie to you. People think bovine colostrum's great. It's widely produced. You can get it at a good price. You try to buy, it's even hard to get goat colostrum, and it's super hard to get Jenny colostrum. My male donkey's a Jack, and the girl's a Jenny. But the point is, ultra rich people actually have those just for themselves. And they literally, the donkey has to have a baby, and then only for a few weeks you get colostrum. All right? So, we've got the best bovine colostrum that we're introducing right now that you're going to find anywhere. Cellular recovery and defense matrix. So I'm introducing a new product right now. And this is the superfood of superfoods. Fuel your cells, feed your gut. It's also incredible for gut health and flora. High potency formula contains 2,000 milligrams of bovine colostrum per serving. Gut health support. Paired with marshmallow root to rebuild gut lining, reduce bloating, and enhance digestion. Immune support, natural compounds strengthen your body's defenses against toxins and stress. Muscle recovery aid promotes faster tissue repair and reduces soreness post-workout or strain. Stress and energy balance delivers calm, focused energy with natural adaptogens, no caffeine crashes. Toxin defense supports detox pathways to flush out environmental pollutants and free radicals. Enhance nutrient absorption, improves nutrient uptake for better overall health without fillers. Bovine Colostrum Plus, it's concentrated, is a high-impact dietary supplement designed to supercharge your gut health, immunity, and recovery with a potent 2,000 milligram dose of bovine colostrum enriched with 400 milligrams of IG and 500 mg lactoferrin paired with gut-soothing marshmallow root. It rebuilds your gut lining, reduces bloating, and enhances nutrient absorption for the whole body. Ethically sourced and sustainably packaged, this clean, filter-free formula is your gut daily defense against toxins and stress. And again, it's a hassle. I mean, because you only get this for a few weeks after the cow has a baby. So, it's the next best thing to mommy's milk that you can get widely available. So, it's all the rage for years. Everybody's going totally insane about it. I'm going to be taking it. Everybody keeps asking me, why aren't you on colostrum? What does your joints, your overall health, your gut, your skin, women that are into your skin, you put all these expensive creams on, all this stuff. You take pills for your nails. This is next level. So I'm going to stop. That was a long plug because I'm introducing a new product. And I'll be completely honest with you. Everybody's been telling me to take colostrum for years. It's hard for me to start taking a supplement. Once I do and it works, I stay on it. I'm going to be taking this. All I hear about is how great it is.
Well, there you have it, folks. This stuff is incredible. I took it for the first time yesterday. Immediately experienced a change in my state of mind and levels of energy. Owen Schroyer is coming up in 3 minutes to host the Alex Jones Show for the next couple of hours. I'm going to take over in the final hour of the broadcast today so that he has a chance to prepare for War Room. Then he's going to do 2 more hours of the War Room straight into the debate between Alex Jones and Nick Fuentes starting at 5 p.m. Central Time. Now we're going to be airing it on the network feed at 5. Owen's going to pitch to it, but if you want to watch it, ad break free, make sure you go to @RealAlexJones and watch on his pinned live feed there as well. And there's so much to get into. I don't know exactly what Owen's going to talk about, but his analysis lately has been absolutely insanely good. It's always very good, but lately I've noticed a shift in tone that's on par with the level of crisis that we face as a nation and, frankly, a species on the planet. And I like to remain hopeful and think that there's going to be indictments coming. I think there's probably a 51% chance that indictments happen. I'm more likely than not that this time indictments are going to happen. Matt Taibbi comes out and he says, yeah, they understand the political backlash if this doesn't happen, but they understood the political backlash of what was going to happen when they just brushed the Epstein thing away, and they did it anyway because Trump isn't facing re-election. And I know we have a major midterm coming up, but what does that really matter if all of our candidates are just going to be Israel first candidates anyway and just kind of schmucks part of the system, Mike Johnson types with the Warby Parkers and their Boy Scout haircuts and their weak disposition? They have faggots everywhere, Republicans and Democrats. They're just all a bunch of faggots. But there's one way that we can fight back, and the best way that we can fight back is to simultaneously engage in self-improvement and self-actualization while taking down the New World Order. And frankly, there's only one way I can think of that you can do that. It's not by subscribing to Netflix. It's not by subscribing to Disney Plus. It's not by tipping your favorite little YouTuber in the Super Chats. It's by going to thealexjonesstore.com. And not only did we launch the Bovine Colostrum Plus yesterday, which is absolutely incredible, but we got this classic back in stock, Ultimate Life Force, the most powerful substance that we've ever created. Methylene blue is something that zaps your mind, makes you feel like you're plugged into the wall. The bovine is just generally good for your digestion, your immune support, your whole body's just nutrition and necessities. This Ultimate Life Force cleans out your blood, but it's not just because you're trying to clean out a spike protein from maybe long COVID, or maybe you have a loved one who got vaccinated and you want to give them this. It's also incredible for reducing the oxidative stress in your brain. I've noticed a change in my state of mind. This is the most complicated, most expensive product for us to develop, but we're giving it to you at the best price possible. Some of the ingredients like NAC, they tried to make them illegal during the pandemic because they were so effective at helping people fight all illnesses and just get better and have energy again. So please get Ultimate Life Force, which is back in stock. It sold out in like 7 days the last time we launched it. So make sure you subscribe, get 50% off, and ensure you always get your bottle even when it's not available to the general public. And stay tuned for the great Owen Schroyer coming up on the other side of this incredibly short break with the best analysis InfoWars has to offer on today, August 13th, 2025.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone. That is the precursor to glutathione and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com for 50% off.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
You know, my father always used to tell me, I had a wonderful father, very smart, and he used to say, son, when you walk into a restaurant and you see a dirty front door, don't go in, because if the front door is dirty, the kitchen's dirty also. Same thing with the Capitol. If our Capitol's dirty, our whole country is dirty. This is Liberation Day in D.C., and we're going to take our Capitol back. We're taking it back.
After President Trump's announcement, there has been a lot of pushback from those that enjoy living in hell.
When we add the presence of federal agents or the National Guard to daily life in these neighborhoods, the burden can multiply.
And those that have a vested interest in continuing their stranglehold over the minds of its minions.
The most violent moment in recent history in D.C. was January 6th.
And a relatively small crime problem is being used for specific authoritarian purposes that we know and understand.
If people are afraid to come to D.C., go to Disney World, get fat, eat French fries. I don't care. I've lived here 37 years. I am not afraid. I live in the city. I'm not afraid of this city. If you're afraid, go ahead. Leave your fear someplace else.
They seem to hold their harshest criticism sometimes for cities that are majority black and brown.
Focus those cameras on everything that's going on, because this president is trying to lead us into what could be called a civil war.
President Trump doesn't like public safety. He's a convicted criminal himself. He pardons people who are criminals and do pretty dastardly things, like cause the deaths of five different law enforcement officers during January 6th.
But what is the reality on the ground in the District of Criminals?
I came all the way down Pennsylvania Avenue this morning. So peaceful here. I don't smell no weed, young. I don't see no homeless people.
A person like me at this age, I has to make sure to come home before sundown.
President Trump knows what's going on. The crime is exploded here. A lot of you know about it.
Since the 1950s, Washington, D.C.'s crime rate has been a roller coaster ride. It all really began to go downhill following the assassination of Martin Luther King, Jr.
Good evening. Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
Which led to riots and widespread property damage.
Dr. King got killed in April and looked like all hell broke loose.
By the 1980s, the crack cocaine epidemic fueled an unprecedented spike in violent crime, with the murder rate peaking in 1991. At 479 homicides.
Crime got so bad, we were losing like 400 or 500 a year, and like two a night were being murdered.
Earning D.C. the infamous title of the murder capital of the United States.
We were all wondering who would be next.
The victims were shot at random in parking lots, going to school, mowing the lawn, gripping the Washington area in fear in the fall of 2002. During three terrifying weeks, 10 people were killed. Three more were wounded, including a 13-year-old boy. The snipers turned out to be John Allen Muhammad, a mentally disturbed man who planned to kill his ex-wife and wanted it to look like she was another random victim. He was executed 7 years later.
D.C. eventually reached a homicide rate of 80.6 per 100,000 people at its height. Homicides dropped to a low of 104 in 2012. However, Post-2020, crime surged again.
There are dozens of unsolved violent carjackings that have happened in the district, and we've heard that detectives now are not really staffed up enough to actually help out with thorough investigations.
430 fewer officers now than we did in 2019, and likely the lowest number of officers since at least the 1970s.
Homicides increased by 35% in 2023, and carjackings doubled. Reduced police funding and Soros revolving door prosecutors lit the fire. Now only 24% of Washington, D.C. residents feel safe, compared to 40% a decade earlier. It doesn't have to be like this. We don't have to live this way. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexstore.com.
InfoWars.com Frontline Report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's quickly hit a reset button here on the Alex Jones Show as Owen Schroyer now takes over in the host seat. Chase Geiser will be rejoining in the fourth hour. I'm going to open up the phone lines. We're going to take a lot of calls in this hour. Chase will then be taking more calls in the fourth hour. I have a guest coming up from Canada who went into the illegal hiking grounds. That's right. It's illegal to hike in Canada now. And so he's dealing with the legal issues there. He's going to report to us on that. And it's funny watching these bureaucrats up there, even the ones that are working in the parks department, they come out because they're embarrassed. They have egg on their face. They say, oh, well, actually, it wasn't about the forest fires. You could walk in the woods and you could break your leg. Oh. Now, I could sit here and say, what's the logical conclusion of this reasoning? Well, eventually you just live in a cage. You just become a prisoner on this planet because anything you could do could be harmful and dangerous. Now, of course, I don't think that's where they're actually trying to go here. I don't think that's what this lady is insinuating, that that's the world she wants to live in. It just goes to show you what liars they are. Oh, it's about stopping forest fires. And the hikers come out and say, we don't start forest fires. That's the homeless people. That's the vagrants. They start the fires. Why are you punishing us? We take care of the forests, which obviously anybody knows that's true. If you know anybody that's an avid outdoorsman or a hiker, if you know anybody that works in the parks department, you know they are very conservative minded when it comes to nature. So obviously the people going out and hiking aren't starting fires, but then they get punished, which is kind of another political logic, political lesson to learn. It's the same thing with the Second Amendment. It's like, you don't punish law abiding people. You don't punish good people when bad people do something wrong. So Canada was so embarrassed, they said, no, you can't go hiking in the parks because you could hurt yourself. Oh, so you shouldn't go outside. You shouldn't drive a car. You shouldn't hop on an airplane. You shouldn't try something new.
I got a call. It was about two hours ago. I was swimming this morning. I guess I shouldn't have gone swimming. I could drown. I could drown in the pool. Don't go swimming. Don't go out on the lake. So obviously that's not the logic that she wants to go with here. It's this embarrassing moment. So Jeff Evely will be joining us. And he is a veteran of the Canadian Armed Forces as well. I think he's going to be okay in the woods. Just, you know, probably going to be all right. But no, he gets a citation. He's the bad guy for going hiking. So we're going to break into all of that and maybe just kind of look at how that's a story of where Canada is going right now. That mindset, it's beyond liberalism. It's nanny state, which, by the way, as uncomfortable as it might be to talk about here, America is quickly heading in that direction as well. Let me just pause right there, open up the phone lines, let the crew get the callers on the line before I kind of go off on this monologue here. But I will be hosting the War Room. I'm not really going to get into much news on this broadcast. I've got a couple topical items I want to get into, and I want to take your calls. I'm going to do the news coming up on the War Room. And then later tonight, Alex Jones is hosting a special broadcast with Nick Fuentes. So we got a lot of stuff going on here at InfoWars today. The number, 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. Number is on the screen. We'll get you up and on the air. All right. Let me just address a couple developments here, which is one is the big thing, and then one is kind of the little thing that will become the big thing. So the big thing is Skynet that is being built right now by the Trump administration. And then the little thing is Mamdani running for mayor in New York, who is a communist, has now hit the highest polling numbers since this race has began. And I don't even think the numbers are accurate because, and you can even look at some of the most accurate pollsters, sometimes shocks happen. And a lot of that is because polls are inaccurate, polls are designed to be inaccurate, and you can't possibly poll everyone or even poll the right people to get a good idea of where things are going politically. So if you go back before Mamdani won in the primaries, Cuomo was like 90% chance to win. Well, now he's down to like 10. So it just shows you not everything really can be accurately depicted in polling. Sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong. So we'll put that aside for now because it's kind of a littler issue that could become a bigger issue. But here's the big issue. And it hits me as I'm watching a lot of this stuff develop, and I imagine this is going to be a top conversation. In fact, when I was talking to Alex Jones earlier today, and he was kind of laying all this out, I know that Alex and Nick are going to be talking about this tonight on that special broadcast about the police state that's being built. It is 100% being built right now. 100%. Now, Trump, in a way, has now just become a distraction. And it makes sense, considering everything we've been through with Trump and everything he's been through. It makes sense, considering the expectations, the high expectations we had. And then you could argue the things that are being delivered or the things that are not being delivered. But it's like Trump has now become a distraction because everybody's kind of focused on what he's going to do or what his legacy is going to be or how do we manage this political tug of war in D.C. between these foreign and special interests and then the interests of the American people and his voters. But see, Trump will be in office until 2028. Or I guess 2029, technically. So that's actually a smaller picture issue. To just be talking about Trump or just be talking about this administration and what happens. When we talk about what the Trump administration is currently building, this is stuff that will last generations, maybe hundreds of years. And if we really want to get conspiratorial, potentially forever. If there's a concept of forever politically, I mean, when you build this technotronic surveillance grid, when you build this AI surveillance system, essentially Skynet, this goes beyond Donald Trump, ladies and gentlemen. This goes beyond the next 10 years politically. We're talking about 50, 100 years. We're dealing with this. You might even be looking at a situation where you're dealing with this permanently until there's a revolution against robots. So this all sounds kind of crazy, and yet we all can kind of sense it when you have this conversation and you just evaluate things outside of the political scope, the political lens, or you stop getting distracted by Trump and you just look at it for what it is. You'll have most Trump supporters that will complain about the surveillance state in China. They don't want to see it here. It's been a big issue when you deal with the corporate global government, the globalists, how they want to do this planet-wide. They tried to initiate this with some of the COVID measurements. And so we all pushed back against that. We all had a problem with that. But now Trump is doing it in term number two, and it's cool and it's trendy and everybody wants to wave the pom-poms, and we're kind of missing the bigger picture here. This is not about Trump. Now, I can look at it through the lens of Trump, since this is happening in his administration, and I can say, I think maybe one or two things or both, these two things are happening right now. A tool can be used for good or bad. So Trump can be sitting here saying, we've got this tool, or we've got this concept of a tool. Maybe we have some practical examples that we can look at, like in China, of how it's applied. And we can kind of form our own system here. But you have this tool, which is a surveillance state with the goal, the idea, is to make people safer. And so Trump might just look at that and say, you know what? I've had multiple people in my White House get attacked in D.C. I don't like that. I want it to be safer. I've had people try to shoot me. I don't like that. I want it to be safer. So I could even see Trump really believing that this can be a tool that is used for good. Because not everybody has the same mindset of having a major concern about where AI is going or where a technotronic global surveillance state is going, like you or I might have. I don't think Trump really thinks about that. And so the other side of that, and maybe both of these things are happening, or maybe it's one thing more than the other, I think on the other side of that, you have the new tech right, you might even say, but I think mostly the tech bros and the tech industry are kind of neutral now. They'll go whichever way the wind blows. And maybe in the past they were kind of more on the left than the right. I think that's changed. I think now it's just kind of neutral. We'll just go wherever we need to go. So now I think you've got the new tech industry in there. And to a certain extent, I think they're taking advantage of President Trump. I think they're taking advantage of his ignorance or lack of foresight on this issue. I think they're taking advantage of perhaps his genuine desire to make streets safer and make the country safer and maybe the world safer. So they kind of see this potentially as a weakness as far as their agenda is concerned. So they're moving in and they're saying, all right, here's Trump, who clearly, I mean, a budget. Yeah, there's no budget in this White House, folks. Give me a break. We just went over $37 trillion in debt and it's not going down. So Trump's made it pretty clear he'll spend more than any other president in U.S. history. That's just a fact. So you can argue about whether that's good or bad. You can try to decide what you think Trump's mindset is on this. Like, he came out today speaking at the Kennedy Center, and he's like, well, we're going to do some things in D.C. We're going to have to spend some money here, but, you know, it won't be that much. We just spent, what was the final tally? $3 billion on renovations at the Fed. And so now we're going to spend another $1 billion paving over streets and all this stuff, which, by the way, I'm for that. I'm all in for that. That's America first. Let me be clear. addressing the problems we have in our metropolitan areas, I am all in. I am all in. Now, we have to be careful about how we do it, but the problem is we're spending hundreds of billions on foreign wars. We're still sending out massive amounts of foreign aid. Anytime Ukraine, anytime Israel, anytime these countries pick up the phone, they can get billions and billions of dollars from us. So, but at this point, to get back to the conversation, the tech bros have realized, and this is why Musk is no longer there, folks. This is why Elon Musk is no longer there. Because he was a bit of a voice of reason. So now the other tech bros that are still in there from Palantir and all the other deals that are going down, they're like, hey, Trump doesn't have a budget. We can literally get as much money as we want from this guy. And all we got to do is kind of manipulate the conversation to make him think it's his idea and it's his goals and desires that are being met here. Meanwhile, the AI sector, the data processing center, the global surveillance grid, they're just about to get flush with cash so that they can build the infrastructure, which will eventually result in Skynet, whether it's used for good or bad. That's where this is all going. So it's Trump, I think, wanting to do good things, but potentially using a tool that could be bad to do it. And then I think it's the new tech industry that's in there realizing there is an open checkbook right now when it comes to AI, semiconductors, quantum computing, data processing, surveillance state. So they're all in there and they're trying to get their cut. So it's just pedal to the metal on this deal. And nobody is trying to kind of hit the brakes a little bit and say, let's take a second and think about what we're doing here. Except Elon Musk, who's gone. And now you know why. So do I want to clean up the inner cities? Absolutely. Do I want to fix our infrastructure? 100%. That is America first. That is what we should be doing. We should have been doing this day one instead of fiddling around with Israel's foreign policies, fiddling around in Ukraine. This is what we should have been doing. But we should have been having a conversation about where do we put in guardrails? Who's talking about the Constitution with all of this stuff? Who's talking about your right to privacy with all of this stuff? What about innocent until proven guilty? Seems all this stuff is being thrown out the window. And the tech industry, it doesn't care. They get the green light from the administration. They get the billions of dollars. Good for them. Trump doesn't really romanticize the Constitution. Pretty much admitted it in interviews when he's asked about it. It's like, he's a businessman. He's a negotiator. He likes getting deals done. He has a vision and he tries to get it done. So this is kind of the swirling hurricane of the technotronic grid that is being built and about to be placed on top of us. And then you add into the Golden Dome, and then that's when you realize this is actually pretty dark and twisted. Because here's what we have had to learn from the past. It's like, okay, a hammer can be used to build a house or bash my head in. Well, if I give this guy a hammer and I say build a house with it, and then every time he takes the hammer and bashes my head in, do you think I'm going to give him the hammer again? Say, yeah, here's a hammer again, build a house, and then he bashes my head in again. So what's the lesson? The lesson is you give these tools to the government, folks, they use it against you. Beyond the Patriot Act. Beyond. No, they're not building this surveillance infrastructure to not use it against you. They're not building the Golden Dome to not use it. When they build this Golden Dome, I would say it's 100% guaranteed if we don't do something, if we don't get this fixed, 100% guaranteed missiles are coming into this country. Why else would they be building it, folks? And why would there be missiles flying into our country to begin with? No, that should concern people. They're not going to build this gigantic mega surveillance infrastructure with AI and data processing and quantum computing and not aim it against you. So this is beyond Trump. Trump will be gone in 4 years. This stuff will still be here, and it could be used against you, and it will be used against you. Now, this kind of ties into the Mamdani thing, but that's more of a short-term issue. So the long-term issue is Trump is now a distraction for Skynet AI surveillance system being put on top of us permanently. Now the Mamdani phenomenon. Should we be surprised that New York City is about to elect a communist? No. But this is a political referendum. And whoever adapts to this will win the midterms, and maybe even, it might be safe to say, 2028. Whoever is willing to accept the reasons why Mamdani wins, or, you know, I suppose if he wins, he's the odds-on favorite now more than ever. Whichever party understands this political referendum and adapts to it will have the best chance to win the midterms and in 2028. But if a political party tries to reject this political referendum, then they will lose the midterms and they will lose 2028. And I think the left is kind of feeling it out right now, but the right is just outright rejecting it. They can't comprehend it. They can't believe it. They don't understand it. So let me put it pretty succinctly for you. There is this grip on the past. It's like people that are still obsessed with Cold War era politics dealing with Russia. There's this grip on the political norms, the political standards that we've been dealing with for most of our lives, which is, to put it simply, and it's not maybe the best way to put it, but for the sake of time and simplicity, the boomer generation politics are dead. It's over. The younger generation of political issues is now on the come and has come of age. That's what Mamdani represents. And if you want to boil it down to two issues, it's pretty simple. And this is what the youth will completely reject. Now, I understand when you've lived through something so many times, you start to just expect this outcome, which is the boomers will control the narrative. The boomers will control the outcome. The older generations, again, I'm not getting into generational fighting here. This is just for simplicity's sake why I'm phrasing it like this. Mamdani's election and maybe even 2028 will be, whoever realizes this, they will win in the future. The older generational political run is over. It's over. Trump was the boomer's last gasp. Trump was the boomer's last thrust. It's over after that. It's done. And I think if Mamdani wins, to me, that's the threshold. That's the mile marker. And if the Republicans continue to repeat the same two propaganda points, they will use the youth, which is crazy because the younger Americans are more right-wing than any generation of Americans since maybe like the 70s. Maybe beyond that. I don't know. You've not seen more right-wingers in the youth, but the problem is the Republicans are blowing it. And if the Republicans stick to these two talking points for the next 4 years, you will lose the youth vote. Now, they won't really like to vote Democrat. They're not going to be liberals. They're not going to be progressives. But why would a young person vote for Mamdani, even if they're not a liberal? These two talking points, if the Republicans don't drop these two things or correct these two things immediately, they will lose the midterms and they will lose in 2028. One, the economy is great. No, it's not. The economy is not doing great, and the more you tell young Americans that, the more you're insulting and offending them and telling them to reject their own experience financially. Now, Trump could turn that around. He has a vision to turn that around, but no, the economy is not great. Stop it. Number two, Israel is our greatest ally. Not working anymore. It's not true. Not working anymore. But see, if the Republicans sit here and they think, oh, look, Mamdani's a communist. Look, he's an anti-Semite. Then you might as well just throw away the midterms. The youth is done with this. The economy is not doing great, and Israel is not our greatest ally. And the more you try to shove that down the youth's throats politically, the more they're going to regurgitate it and vomit it up, and you're going to have Mamdani's getting elected across the country.
TheAlexJonesStore.com. I bring you whatever I personally think is the best and the coolest. That's our marketing plan. This knife sells all day long in stores for $100 or more. We bought a whole bunch of them, so we can sell it to you for $78. Stainless steel, blacked out, double-edged, razor sharp, 1776 on the hilt, high-tech scabbard, hooks on your belt, doesn't come out, is amazing. Right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com for 40% off despite the fact it's selling out. And then this, World War II updated trench knife, 10 inches, razor sharp, stainless steel, Spartan, tip of the spear. You can get this massively discounted up to 40% off right now with the Blades and Bullion Super Sale at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And that goes for these four silver collectible coins that are selling out as well, up to 40% off right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. So take action. Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at TheAlexJonesStore.com. I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it, how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sea Moss has been by far and away our best-selling product on TheAlexJonesStore.com when we launched it some months ago. Now, we've had a hard time keeping the gummies in stock, so we formulated the capsules while we wait on more gummies to come in. Now, Irish Sea Moss is something that's known to be incredible for your body because of the natural iodine that exists in it. It's not just any iodine. It's also abundantly bioavailable. Now, if you don't know, iodine is incredible for your health and supports your body's ability to detoxify itself. Check out Ultimate Sea Moss capsules right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Not only are you fighting for your health, your immunity, and your body's ability to detoxify itself, but you're fighting for humanity as well by keeping Alex Jones on the air, InfoWars on the air, and this crew operating to broadcast the truth worldwide wherever it is being censored, just like your body is under relentless assault and needs Ultimate Sea Moss capsules in order to fight off all the toxins that you're met with. So is InfoWars under assault and needs the audience. So you go to TheAlexJonesStore.com right now and subscribe for Ultimate Sea Moss capsules every month.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance. And now, your host, Owen Troyer.
All right, we're about to go to the phone lines. In closing of my points from the last segment, because I've just dealt with this long enough, I already hear the reactions from naysayers or people that disagree, and I've been having the same reactions since, well, I've gotten into political commentary, and I've been proven right every time, because even though it's hard to sort through political commentary and separate
what would be considered right wing or left wing versus something that's just neutral, just cutting it down the middle. And that's what this is. In 2015, when I was telling people that Trump was going to win, and I was so confident I was placing bets with my friends, and I was getting laughed out, literally laughed out of my family's Thanksgiving dinner, it wouldn't have mattered whether I was supporting Trump or not, or whether I was planning on voting for Trump or not. I just saw that and said, no, this is how it's going to go. So I'm telling you, this is how it's going to go. Doesn't matter how I feel about it. Doesn't matter how I vote. Doesn't matter whether I'm left or right. Doesn't matter whether I like it or don't. This is how it's going to go. So you can disagree and you can gnash and wail at your own peril, but there's a reason why they call InfoWars next year's news today. Now, let's go to the phone lines here. And then we got a guest coming up in the next hour, a Canadian who's getting kicked out of the woods for hiking illegally. I mean, you know, you can't hike in the woods anymore, folks. It's a free country, don't you know? So don't hike in the woods. Let's start with Odin in Michigan. Odin, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
That's good. I'm doing good. I am a huge fan, and I've been waiting a while. So I agree what you're saying. Trump is doing excellent. I didn't get a chance to vote this time because I got moved back to Michigan, and I'll admit I'm autistic, so I didn't want to go through a city and deal with a bunch of people trying to think do it. So, but even though I didn't vote, I'm still all for him.
Well, you know, you can root for Trump and be a fan of Trump, but you can also be critical at the same time.
Yeah, that's true. And I do agree with it. I mean, the school system, not only are they getting screwed up now, they've barely been screwed up since the 90s. And I'm a pure example of this. I have a very smart brain, about a IQ of 113. I found out I can do university math. I've never been to university in my life. And I just restarted high school after dropping out at 17 and re-going back at the age of 42. And I'm solving new math, figuring out how to even throw Roman numerals in the math, which has never been done. Don't know if it's correct without it actually having a calculator to type it, but...
Do they still teach Roman numerals in school? You know, they're getting rid of cursive in school, which is convenient.
Yeah, I know. That's stupid.
Because now you can't read historical documents when you can't read or write cursive.
And I believe the reason why they ever want to put Roman numerals is because they're afraid, oh, you don't have zero. Yeah, they don't have zero. That's why you have the circle with the line or the zero. That's your replacement for the zero.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's an interesting story that you call in with an interesting story here today, and I didn't really put up any guardrails for the conversation, so I suppose we can go anywhere. You know what's amazing? So many things are such a racket. Like now college is basically a racket, and that's not to discredit any degree because some degrees are still necessary. Some college programs are still necessary. But yeah, most stuff now you can just learn online. Some of the top universities, like all the lectures are online. So stuff is changing fast. I mean, even with AI, and I wouldn't promote relying on AI for education, but at the same time, as a tool for learning, it's definitely useful. All right, let's go to Chris in Texas. Chris, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a funny and kind of weird story. I was a couple months ago. I was the victim of a sting operation from. So we have some backyard pools that in between seasons in the springtime, before we are able to clean them up, a bunch of tree frogs make their home in that pool. And there are literally thousands, tens of thousands of tadpoles. And we're like, you know what? Like, money's really tight. So let's see if we could just sell a few of these on Facebook. Maybe they make good pets. And so we put an ad on Facebook, like $5 a pop, and we figured, you know, make a few hundred bucks over the course of a couple months or something, you know? And immediately we get a buyer, and I'm like, wouldn't it be funny if this was just like a sting operation? Sure enough, the game warden shows up at my door and asks to go search the property. And because it's all the animals in Texas have been blacklisted, every wild animal. So you can't. And the kicker is they were just upset that we were trying to sell them and make some money. And they didn't care. I was like, so what happens if I just drain this whole pool and kill them all? He's like, okay, well, that would be your choice. But, and I'm like, so that's legal. He's like, yeah.
So what's the deal? What's the violation?
For trying to sell these tadpoles to, like, I sold them on Facebook Marketplace, and immediately he told me that an AI tracked it down, pinged it, and then sent dispatch to my address.
For selling tadpoles at $5.
Yes. And now I've come to find out, now I've got court. I said I want a trial by jury for this because it's like, I don't know, it's like a $100 fine or something stupid, but it's the principle of the thing. Like, I was trying to sell a thing that would have died in the wild. It would have just...
Yeah, right? Isn't that the irony? And doesn't the bureaucratic process do that so often?
Yeah, and I didn't think it would be here in Texas, though.
Remember, they did the same thing with a bunch of food during COVID. They've done it with milk, they've done it with eggs, they've done it with chickens. And they'll just say, nope, just trash it, just throw it away. You know, like, well, can we give it away? Nope.
Well, what happens if they just decide, you know, are rats blacklisted in Texas? Can I not kill vermin? What about, like, we actually live in an area with tons of pecan trees, and we have so many squirrels. If they were rats, there would be, like, people in suits coming to exterminate. But because they're squirrels, they're allowed to run around and eat everyone's gardens and destroy, you know, eat, you know, your tree, your nut harvest. We got a bunch of pecan trees. We don't get a single one. And it's illegal to hunt them unless it's hunting season. And I think it's totally illegal in the city to try and get rid of them. So, like, what are they going to do next? Like, everything's going to be off.
Well, that's a crazy story. Maybe the most insane about it is the AI picking it up and sending the game warden. Look, game wardens are mostly good people, patriotic conservatives.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I mean, so it's not like we have an issue with game wardens, but the system, the bureaucracy is just a nightmare. I mean, the government shouldn't even be involved. You find some tree frogs on your property, you want to sell them to neighbors. I mean, give me a break. There's no room for the government in this transaction. But that is it. We just have a gangster government. They have to get involved in every transaction. They got to shake you down for every nickel and dime you got. So that's what we're sick of. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Kyle in New Jersey. Kyle, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon or good morning if it's morning over there in Texas. I was writing down some things, and your topic today kind of piggybacks off of a conversation I had with my friend Tyler. He's a big fan of yours too, out in Colorado. And if I may, it'll probably take all of 20 seconds to read the notes that I wrote down, and just wanted your take on them, if that'd be okay.
Well, I would just generally advise against reading anything on air. It usually doesn't translate, but I'll give you a shot. Go ahead.
Okay. So this has to do with Mamdani and also Trump. So right now Mamdani he's talking about free transit. They obviously in New York City have made a push for no cars with these traffic fees. And on top of controlling your transportation in New York, they also want to, control what you're doing as far as what you consume with these state-run grocery stores, that they're going to basically give you low-quality food, let's face it, for almost nothing.
Well, let's be even more frank about it. They're not going to give you any food. They spent $26 million on a similar project in Kansas City. The thing folded, and it resulted in a net negative. So it's already been tried. It failed.
Yeah, and, you know, he's also talking about, and I'll jump to Trump after this, but Mamdani's also talking about jumping up these taxes on businesses that are even outside of the city. You're just gonna have no money coming in eventually, and the city's just gonna start to tank worse than it already is.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna let you make your Trump point, but okay. I'm gonna respond to that directly once you hang up.
Okay. So then that whole thing, as far as Mamdani goes, will be what you respond to. And then with Trump, I feel like it's damned if you do, damned if you don't with Trump. I mean, we saw what happened with Operation Warp Speed and the first term, but now he brings in Palantir. And I believe it was Palantir was right away at that press conference I think on day two, they were talking about mRNA. It's the same as COVID, which is surveillance. And I don't know if you ever saw this acronym for COVID. It's Certificate of Vaccine ID. And 19 can be broken down into artificial intelligence, which is a world that we're heading into. I think that this just moves the globalist chess pieces unintentionally or worse, intentionally, to their ultimate agenda, which is 15-minute cities and total control. I just, you know, I kind of wanted your take on that. And again, thanks for, you know, having this show and everything that you guys do over there.
All right, Kyle. Well, let me, I'll respond briefly to your last point, and then I'll get to the Mamdani point. I think that, you know, Trump certainly defeated a lot of America's enemies politically. Let's take a couple examples here. The radical left, the liberal agenda, the liberal establishment, the progressive establishment. Now, and I would say it's not fair to say any of these factors are totally defeated, but I mean, the left-wing political establishment, the liberal progressive establishment is on the mat. It's on the mat. Now, what's rising from it is now outright communism, but you talk about defeating this establishment. Okay, well, the left-wing establishment is down for the count, on the mat, politically kind of irrelevant right now to a certain degree. Then you've got the corporate global government establishment, the likes of the WHO, the WEF. Again, I wouldn't say they're totally defeated, but they're on the mat. They've been politically knocked onto the mat and have lost a lot of influence and power. That has a lot to do with Trump and the MAGA movement. Now, you're dealing with other establishments that we're trying to go up against right now, like Israel's influence and buying off Congress and everything. So that's kind of the establishment fight now, is the Israeli influence establishment. That's kind of the big battle right now. But what you're seeing in this power vacuum is now you've got the new tech establishment coming in. So, yeah, any other establishment groups that aren't completely defeated and removed from the arena, they'll eventually come in and try to take control of this stuff. So you build this AI surveillance grid. Yeah, the corporate global government types, they're going to come in and try to take control of it. The progressive liberal left, they'll come in and try to take control of it. That's why it's so important to truly drain the swamp. That's why it's so important to actually have arrests. Trump again was talking about the stolen election from 2020. No one's been arrested. So the political left on the mat, but not defeated. The corporate global agenda on the mat, but not defeated. So you got Israel moving into the power vacuum and they've got their own agenda. Netanyahu announcing the whole thing. Now they want regime change in Iran. He's calling for a revolution and the Iranian people to get out in the streets. It's just crazy. And then talking about greater Israel and taking the Gaza Strip. So everything we knew that they wanted to do, now they're just coming out and saying it. And they've got the backing of the White House, so they'll probably do it. And then you've got the new tech industry moving in, and they're kind of building their own power structure here. And on the Israel issue, they may be with it, not with it. Some of them are actually making military deals with Israel, but they're kind of their own, they're kind of their own body. And they're saying, well, we'll work with whoever is in power here. And we'll work for whoever's the highest bidder, and because ultimately this is what we're trying to build, we really don't care who's president or who's taking land or in a war while we do it. We just want to build it. So then how do you make sure it's being used for good or bad? That's the big issue. Now, on the Mamdani question, here's my issue with the left-wing communists. Because I can understand, you have to understand where your opposition is coming from. And to fail in that understanding is to fail in political commentary. And perhaps, you know, maybe this might be a reach, but maybe even to fail as a human. To not understand where somebody that disagrees with you is coming from is a failure. So I'm not a communist. I'm not on the left. I would never vote for a communist. I don't support this stuff. But I have enough wherewithal to understand where it's coming from. The problem that I have with the left-wing communists is that they've got their priorities all out of whack. And I hear this all the time. I have this debate with commies. They'll say, well, we want free health care, and we want all this free stuff, and we want a better life. You know, I believe that maybe the average left-wing communist out there really, really thinks they're coming from a good place. And they really might desire for a better world for people. I don't know. And so they really might just think, okay, have all this free stuff. My issue is that, okay, if this is your goal, if this is your mission to bring in some sort of a socialist or communist system in America where people can just basically get whatever they need for free, okay, fine, that's where you're at politically, but you understand, there's like a list of things you gotta do first. A list of things. So I would even go back to the communist and I would say, okay, how much is all of this stuff gonna cost? Right? How much is all the free stuff? Because nothing is free. So how much is it actually gonna cost and how are you gonna get that money? Now this is where 90% of American communists will go completely blank. They haven't thought about it. But no, there's a real conversation you can have. Oh, okay. It's going to cost $500 billion. Say, okay, it's going to cost $500 billion. Well, where are you going to get that money? Well, golly gee, how much does the United States of America dole out in foreign aid every year? Oh, hundreds of billions of dollars. That's right. That's right. So my point is to the American communists out there, if you really think that you can have some sort of a program to provide free stuff for people, you're going to have to find the budget. You're going to have to get that money from somewhere. So again, I would not go communist, but I would say, hey, you know what? Let's get our priorities straight here. If the American left agrees that we give out way too much foreign aid, I agree. So let's cut it down to zero. And then we can debate about what to do with all this extra cash, which of course is a myth because we're $37 trillion in debt anyway. But I guess that doesn't matter because I guess, you know, we're just kind of under this like unspoken agreement now with our government that, yeah, all the money is fake. So yeah, the money is totally fake. They know it's fake. You know it's fake. The whole thing is fake. But it's like we're still playing this game. So, okay. So if I had left-wing communists pushing hard to cut all foreign aid to the tunes of hundreds of billions of dollars, if I saw the left-wing refusing to give another dime to Ukraine, refusing to give another dime to Israel and all these other countries that we fund and all the other foreign aid that goes out, and you now have $500 billion in your annual budget that you're not giving to foreign interests anymore and foreign countries anymore, and you say, okay, we want to inject that into the healthcare system, or we want to inject that into agriculture so we can produce more food. It's like, okay, now you're having a real conversation. Again, I wouldn't agree that communism is the answer, but you can't just give away free stuff without finding it in the budget. Somebody has to pay for it somewhere. So yeah, if the right and the left, with a different vision for the future, but with the same priorities to get there, could come together, yeah, I think America would be a lot better off. I think America would be in a much better place if instead of spending trillions, and yes, the number is tens of trillions of dollars, just since the year 2000, ladies and gentlemen, just since the year 2000, America has spent upwards of $10 trillion in foreign interests, foreign aid, and foreign wars. $10 trillion. And that's a low number. It's probably closer to 20. So, if I had the left in this fervent push to stop all of our money from going overseas and then saying, look at all this extra money we have in the budget, then you'd be like, okay, well, at least what they're trying to do is good for the country. But they can't even figure that. They can't even wrap their mind around that. They just think, oh, everything's free. Just give out everything for free. Everything will be great. It's just like, no, that's not how this is going to go. You're going to cause a collapse, which will happen probably in New York City if Mom Donnie or when Mom Donnie gets elected. So, but this is going to be the understanding. And I really think that the American youth are starting to catch up to this. The corporate media control over the narrative is slipping fast. And you've got a lot of voices out there on the left and the right that are now coming of age, that are actually able to communicate these things and have a general understanding and a general purpose amongst the youth of how to reach some of these goals. But there's your issue. Imagine, instead of in the last 25 years injecting $10 trillion all over the world, imagine injecting that instead into the United States of America. And that's like one sliver. That's not even getting into the corporate tax rate, which sent all the manufacturing overseas. That's not even getting into the regulations that crushed and crippled small businesses and sent manufacturing overseas. So it's like, okay, you want to be a communist? Whatever. Let's address all these other issues. Let's actually get all of these issues straight. Get our system fixed. Then you can have a debate about whether you want to be a communist or not. You try to bring in a communist system in America right now, you are going to collapse. Period. Now, you start actually prioritizing America, stop sending money all over the world. You know, maybe now you can sit here and try to argue that some of these welfare programs need to exist or some of these communist ideas need to be brought into practice. But you can't do that when you're $37 trillion in debt. And you can't do that when you're sending trillions of dollars all over the world. All right, long answer there. Let's go to Willie in California. Willie, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen. You know, I just want to say hats off. I'm looking forward today to Alex and Nick. You know, hats off to Alex for giving this guy a platform. You know, while the mainstream media distrust just keeps growing and growing, we have a migration of popular influencers moving to independent media. And look no further to the emergence of Tucker Carlson, Charlie Kirk, Candace, etc. And I find making informed opinions depends on scrutinizing social media influencers. And Nick Fuentes expresses many views I wholeheartedly disagree with, but that doesn't stop me from investigating new and up-and-coming influencers. Tucker, by mocking Nick's style and character, is revealing. We can't forget the reason for Nick's rise in popularity is because nobody's really solving the problems of the young middle America. I think Nick exists in spite of the establishment, while Tucker exists because of it. And hats off to Alex for giving him a platform today.
Well, you know what? Let me say, and I don't even really think it's like a conscious thing. I think it's just how InfoWars operates from kind of, you know, being I don't know how you want to say it, being the bad guy for so long. I don't know. I tend to get along with everybody. And InfoWars has never been known to get involved in some of these personal disputes and spats between other high-profile individuals. I pride InfoWars for that. Because we're just all about the news. We're all about getting the public awake and trying to save the country. So, I mean, we really just get along with everybody. But I would say in response to that, Willie, don't be surprised. It's already happening, but it's way too sensitive right now. But don't be surprised if in the near future you don't start to see and hear there's going to be a lot of pressure on X and Elon Musk to start censoring X again. And there's going to be a lot of pressure on Rumble as well to do something with the rise of popular streamers that are, you know, kind of now anti-right establishment like Nick Fuentes. I think that's coming soon.
At thealexjonesstore.com, I bring you whatever I personally think is the best and the coolest. That's our marketing plan. This knife sells all day long in stores for $100 or more. We bought a whole bunch of us. We can sell it to you for $78. Stainless steel, blacked out, double-edged, razor-sharp, 1776 on the hilt, high-tech scabbard, hooks on your belt, doesn't come out, is amazing, right now at thealexjonesstore.com for 40% off despite the fact it's selling out. And then this, World War II updated trench knife, 10 inches, razor-sharp, stainless steel, Spartan, tip of the spear. You can get this massively discounted up to 40% off right now with the Blades and Bullion Super Sale at thealexjonesstore.com. And that goes for these four silver collectible coins that are selling out as well, up to 40% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. So take action.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
You're talking about serious issues. All right, we're in here on the Alex Jones Show today talking about very serious political stuff. And Chase Geyser comes in here in the break and shows off his new shirt. We like to have fun around here every once in a while when it's allowed. What do they say? When dad's away, the kids will play. When we're allowed to have fun, we try to have a laugh. So Chase comes in here with his new shirt, and we're having a laugh about it. And he goes, oh, this shirt is at the website. I'm like, are you serious? Like, we got a new t-shirt design? All right. So if you want to make your friends laugh, do you want to make your friends laugh? Or maybe, oh, man, I can't help myself. If you want to make your friends laugh, we have a new t-shirt for you at thealexjonesstore.com. Or if you want to Sydney Sweeney yourself, is that a good way to put it? How could I put it? If you want to embellish your upper torso region, we've got the shirt for you guys. Can I get it on the screen, please? Let me see this on the screen. I didn't even know. What's up? We don't even have it yet? So I just got gaslit over a t-shirt, is what you're telling me. Are we selling this t-shirt or not? I need to know right now, because now I've just been gaslit. When is this shirt going up on the website? What is happening here? So is this a limited edition? What is happening here? All right, here we go. Chase's new t-shirt. Now, I'm not sure if Chase was feeling a little confused today. Were you feeling gender confused, or are you just embracing Sydney Sweeney?
You want the colostrum plus?
Wow. So there it is, the new Sydney Sweeney t-shirt. Not on the site yet, though? When is it getting up?
Yeah, it's going to be up in like 30 seconds. I just snapped on him for not having it up.
Okay. Yeah. I've caused outrage here.
That's great.
I've caused outrage behind the scenes. The new Sydney Sweeney. Whoa, hold on a second now. You're not getting off that easy. I want you to stand right in front of that camera. I mean, right. There you go, buddy. There it is.
Eyes up here.
Is that Sydney Sweeney, or is that the new InfoWars t-shirt? You've been Rickrolled. It's like, wow, we got Sydney Sweeney in studio. No, we don't. Wow. All right, it's going to be at thealexjonesstore.com any moment now. We had a good laugh out of that. So there you go. Unintentional tease of the t-shirt. Soon to be up at thealexjonesstore.com. No relation to the Colostrum Plus supplement that we are selling. No relation at all. There's no theme there. Okay? Let's just get that straight. The Colostrum Plus supplement is available. Bovine Colostrum Plus, by the way, cellular recovery and defense matrix, is available, though, at thealexjonesstore.com. I know for a fact you can get that right now when you subscribe 50% off And very soon it'll be the Sydney Sweeney t-shirt. You know, I got a feeling they're going to make a package deal out of that now, just for comedic reasons. This is going to be some sort of a package deal here. Okay? We all know why. All right? Everybody knows why. Let's just calm down. All right? Let's not get childish here. But this is the latest product, the latest supplement, Bovine Colostrum Plus. I have been supplementing with colostrum products for years now. I like to put them in my post-workout protein shake. All kinds of benefits when it comes to muscle recovery and growth, but also gut health, immune health, so many other things associated with colostrum. And from somebody that's probably tried 5 or 6 different ones over the years, you can kind of tell the difference between quality and everything. No doubt this is high quality. And Bovine Colostrum Plus, it's about as pure as you're going to get when it comes into colostrum supplements. Available now at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, a couple calls on the other side, then our guest.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Yeah, that's just all American beef. And a new colostrum supplement at InfoWars store, thealexjonesstore.com. All right. Let's take a couple calls before our guest joins us to talk about this crazy situation in Canada. And guys, whenever we're ready to go to him, just put that note on the screen for me. I'll take calls until he's ready. Let's go to Brittany in North Carolina now. Brittany, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if you've listened to the Danny Jones podcast with Dr. Jack Cruz or not, but I feel like he's a guest that you definitely have to have on. He's one of those that's going to help save humanity.
What was the name? What was the name of the lady?
No, his name is Dr. Jack Cruz.
Oh, okay, Jack Cruz. I believe I've actually seen some of his work before. I don't know if he's been on, though.
Yeah, no, he's never been on, but he's one of those. He's probably a guest that you must have on. It was his work. I'm in healthcare, and I just feel like everyone around me, the cancer has been exploding.
Oh, yeah. Well, what do you think that could be tied into the vaccines, though?
Yeah, completely, because everyone has taken the vaccine. I was actually afforded a religious exemption for mine, so I didn't have to, but I feel like there's going to be, no one to take care of us in the future, which is because everybody's going to be dying of cancer. But that's just one point I wanted to make. But also, we live out on 48 acres right now. We just bought a property, and we haven't seen as much chemtrails. And then I'm thinking that maybe they're resorting to putting the vaccines in tomatoes or lettuce, or I saw where they had a patent with floss now where they can place vaccines. So I'm just wondering if that they've kind of shifted their plans as well.
Well, they're putting all kinds of chemicals in the food. RFK Jr. has addressed a lot of that. We haven't reached the point of them mRNA vaccinating all of our food products now, or livestock, yet. We are monitoring that. I think as a general statement, though, you know, it's hard for people to understand and comprehend this. And I think even for InfoWars, where we used to really focus on topics like this, we've kind of brought things more down to earth recently because the thirst for truth is out there. And the political war is where we're gaining ground right now. But yeah, I think the understanding that people need to have is you're basically in a planetary system of population control. That's what it is. You're in a planetary system of population control. And there's a reason why they put poison in the food and the water. There's a reason why they spike these vaccines that can kill you and give you cancer. There's a reason why they want all these kids on pharmaceutical pills. There's a reason why they lie and start wars that millions of people die in unnecessarily. It's all population control.
The point is that do we really know what they're putting in our food? No, we do not. Do we really know that there's not mRNA in our vaccines if we don't get our beef from a farmer? I don't think so. So I think that everybody needs to be just hyper vigilant about what we're eating.
Absolutely. And you know, I talk to a lot of people, even not just people that work on farms or cattle or agriculture, but even the big lobbyists, they're keeping a tight eye on this. It's not really considered like sexy news to talk about, you know, injecting livestock with the mRNA shots. But there's a lot of people that are following this tightly and keeping it out of the livestock. So it is going on. You just don't really hear much about it. Thanks for the call, Brittany. There we go. We got it up. Great jeans. Limited edition t-shirt. Give it to your girlfriend. She won't be mad at you at all. She won't read into that as a subtle or not so subtle message at all if you buy this t-shirt for your girlfriend or wife. Definitely a great idea. Won't cause you any problems in your relationship. No way. No how. Of course not. All right, let's take one more call before my guest joins me. Let's go to Matt in Wisconsin. Matt, you're on the air. Go ahead.
It's actually Matt, by the way. M-A-S.
Okay, I'm sorry. I can't hear you. It sounds like you're in the shower. Okay, well, that was, maybe he can fix that. Is Jeff ready to go? All right, let's go to our guest now. I'm sorry to do this because we're just taking it live. Is it Jeff? Is it Evely or is it Evely? Which way does it go here?
Evely.
Okay. Jeff Evely joins me now, retired veteran of the Canadian Armed Forces. And he recently decided to, I guess, stress test this new idea that hiking in the woods is a crime in Canada. So you went out for a hike, you got a citation, and now the rest is history. And you're joining me on the show. Why don't you kind of briefly lay out the things that happened that led to your criminal hike in the woods, and then we can get into what happened after.
Well, actually, you'd have to go back to 2023 to understand, because they brought in these pseudo-climate lockdowns in 2023 when we had wildfires in Nova Scotia, and they put in a blanket ban for anybody entering the woods. Now, where I live in Cape Breton Island, there were no active fires, so I considered that to be an overreach at that time. And I took them to court over it, standing on my Charter of Rights and Freedoms rights, which is part of the Constitution in Canada. And the judge told me I couldn't stand on my rights alone, that there had to be money involved. And had I gotten fined, then I would have had standing in the court. It was dismissed on that basis. So when they brought in the blanket ban again this time, I knew what I had to do. I had to go out and take the $25,000 fine. So I called ahead to the Department of National Resources and let them know what I wanted to do and why I was doing it. I talked to the supervisor, came in when the guys were coming on their shift change, and, you know, I just approached it kind of firm, fair, friendly, and I didn't stick any cameras in their face. I did my best to keep it as non-confrontational and cool-headed and professional as I could. They gave me kind of the gears initially because that's what their superiors expect them to do, and I understand that. So once we got those initial formalities out of the way, the guys were pretty accommodating. We went out behind the building, and on camera I took a very short 90-second stroll through some dense bush behind their building, just so they could get that for the record. And we went back inside, and they issued me a ticket for a grand total of $28,872.50, because apparently on top of that $25,000 fine, there are taxes, court fees, and a victim fee. That's where we are now.
So a 90-second hike in the woods cost you 28 grand is what you're reporting here.
Yes, sir.
Now, this is some of the footage that you were taking, I guess, supposedly before your criminal hike right here with the caution tape?
Right. So this would have been the first day after they imposed the ban. They put this caution tape up on the trails in the provincial park by my house where I walk my dog every day. So I was actually pretty annoyed. And I knew I had to get the fine, so I was just kind of blowing off steam in this video because, I wanted to be in the right mindset before I went and dealt with that confrontation with the conservation officers. So I never expected this to really take off, but holy smokes, did it ever go.
Well, I think there's a couple reasons why it did. First of all, you just look at that video, you look at the images here. It's so strange because I remember dealing with a lot of this during COVID, where they'd put up this caution tape. Like, there's a popular creek down here that people like to swim in, and they'd put up caution tape. We're just talking about a creek. We're not talking about, like, an actual official government pool or anything like that. Just you walk down some rocks, some woods, and you're swimming in the creek. And they put up this caution tape, and you're sitting there, and you're like, wait, who is denying me the right to walk in nature? Who's out here police taping off a creek? And so it's like, it's a similar vibe watching this. It's like, oh, extreme fire hazard. And then it's just a beautiful day in the woods and a piece of police tape, which, you know, that's littering actually. They're the ones causing global warming with that plastic police tape out there. So now let's talk about kind of the developments that led to this, because obviously they were saying, oh, fire hazards, fire hazards. I'm sure you saw the recent video where they come out and they say, oh, well, actually, it's because you could go for a walk and break your leg. We can't have you. So it's just, how ridiculous is this?
It's absurd in the extreme. And that particular press conference as you're referring to right there, Susan Holt, she's the premier in a neighboring province, New Brunswick. And she basically threw our premier under the bus and said, yeah, obviously we're not telling you not to go into the woods because your sneakers cause fire. We're telling you not to go into the woods because we're already battling fires, which they're not doing in Nova Scotia, but, we're already battling fires in New Brunswick. And, when you go into the woods, you're going to break your leg and we don't have the resources to come and save you. So it's a mismanagement crisis. And I think what we're seeing here is, something like, the paternalism of the guilty mind that is central to the essence of totalitarianism on full display in Atlantic Canada right now.
What has the response been? I mean, obviously, I've seen this get a lot of attention. You were kind of alluding to the fact you were surprised how much attention it got in the United States. But what about in Canada? What's the response been like there? Obviously, enough for that lady to come out and say, hey, you know, this is to protect you from you. But what about just generally speaking? How much of a response have you gotten in Canada?
It's been a pretty overwhelming response. I do get a few trolls. That is to be expected whenever you're doing something as publicly as this. And they are the nastiest, most disgusting people who will say the most odious things they can possibly imagine to me. And they always bring my service into it. So it makes it really hard for me to tell who the good and bad guys are in this. Thank you for that. But I would say like 98 to 99% of it has been overwhelmingly positive and supportive. People are quite grateful that I was willing to take one for the team. And it sounds like a lot of people, more than I expected even, are really fed up with this totalitarian garbage in Canada.
Well, boy, you guys have been dealing with it for a long time. I think the most striking images, again, were during COVID when you had the people protesting out in the cold getting stomped on by horses.
I was there.
Yeah, you were there too?
Mm-hmm. I got arrested at the trucker convoy. I just came back from Ottawa. We were appealing the charges that they gave me of mischief and obstructing. I was a war veteran wearing my war medals on my way to the war monument, and they told me I couldn't go. And I was like, the heck I can't. So I, They arrested me. It looks like we'll probably appeal that to the next level, so probably the Supreme Court. I was barred from the city of Ottawa for 2.5 years. I have to be the only veteran in Canadian history to have been born barred from our national war monument for 2.5 years. When I did go back at one point, actually, and they rearrested me because I went to a reflaying ceremony there, that we helped organize to give dignity back to the monument and the veterans that were beaten and drug off it during the convoy. And so they rearrested me for that. I've been involved in some other things as well. I got arrested a couple of times for refusing to mask up while I was shopping during COVID. So it was all the way down to us not being able to freely breathe the air here in Canada. And, we're getting all of those creepy COVID authoritarian vibes again with these, pseudo climate lockdowns here in Nova Scotia.
Do you think that's where this is going? Do you think if they get away with this now, they're going to go full on with climate lockdowns? I mean, how far? They can't tell you can't hike forever.
Well, we're in a situation right now where their failure to plan has constituted an emergency on the rest of our parts. Just like Susan Holt was saying, it's because we don't have the resources to keep you alive anymore that, we need to stifle and control you so closely. And it's the same thing here in Nova Scotia. Like, they don't have any of the right helicopters for water bombing. They have cut the fire services left, right, and center even before they brought in the vaccine mandates and decimated our emergency services and our healthcare system and our nurses. So we're in a really bad way out here. We had a hurricane blow through about 3 years ago, and they still have all the deadfall out in the woods that they haven't cleaned up. And if it does light up, like, it is going to be a disaster. But they don't do their jobs. And because they don't do their jobs, now they're conscripting me into this whole of society effort where I'm expected to shoulder additional burdens in order to make up for their shortcomings. And it's effectively slavery in my mind, because it is labor without recompense and without consent.
Well, we've had a similar issue as far as them not doing the work to mitigate the risk of forest fires. We've had a similar issue here, but then a lot of the time we'll find out that a lot of these fires end up getting started by an individual, maybe a homeless person out in the woods starting a fire, or maybe a bad actor lighting off some fireworks to try to start some trouble. Is it a similar situation in Canada? Have you guys determined how these fires are starting? Is it bad actors like we've learned here in America?
Absolutely. Actually, the wildfires of 2023 that I referenced a little while ago there, the biggest one of all of them, which was the biggest wildfire in Nova Scotia history, was the Barrington wildfire. And the 22-year-old man who set that fire was only ever charged with lighting a fire on private property without permission, failing to take steps to prevent that fire from spreading, and leaving that fire unattended. Now, that sure sounds like arson to me. So if Tim Houston, my premier, really wanted to protect us from wildfires, then he would prosecute left-wing climate zealot eco-terrorists to the full extent of the law and just leave the rest of us alone.
Well, isn't that ironic? Again, it seems like we do share a lot of issues, America, United States, America, and Canada, but isn't that ironic? They're going to sit here, not do the work to mitigate forest fire issues, and then when they find out, even in these instances, like you said, the big wildfire from 2023, they find out it was caused by a human. No, they say it's climate change. So they say, oh, this is climate change. This is man-made climate change. This is, using a gas car, all of this other stuff. And then it turns out, no, it was the government didn't do the proper work to mitigate the risk. And then, even worse, you might say, it's actually started by a human on the ground starting a fire and not putting it out. And then they just blame climate change, and they use that to control the people even more.
Yeah. And, fires have been going down. The number of fires and hectares burned have been going down the entire time that we've been tracking it. And I think they got burned, pun intended, during the 2023 Nova Scotia wildfires, because they hyped the climate change to the point that one of our MPs here in Nova Scotia, which is the equivalent of a congressman in the United States, stood on the floor of the House of Commons and blamed the rest of us for driving our cars for setting Nova Scotia militia on fire. And then after the fact, it all comes out that it was in fact arson. There were multiple cases of arson, not just the one for the Barrington fire, but there were two cases of arson in Pictou as well. So arson, and they're screaming climate change. And I think they may have ended up with a little bit of egg on their face. And perhaps we're seeing a glimmer of shame finally on the part of our leadership here in Canada.
Really? Is that because they've been caught lying about climate change, or is that because they went so all in on it and then got proven that no, it had nothing to do with the weather?
I think people still, by and large, buy into the climate narrative in Canada, including our politicians, but perhaps maybe our politicians are learning to not get way over their skis. And this, I mean, when I say politicians, I think that also includes the press, because they're bought and paid for by the government here in Canada. The mainstream press is paid by our government, so they are propagandists, they're not journalists. And they all got on board with the same narrative, but they don't seem to be hyping the climate stuff this time around as much as they were last time. And, you know, I just went out this morning. It hadn't rained in a while. I wouldn't have noticed if our politicians and bureaucrats weren't freaking out. But I went out this morning. I did another video this morning, and I was like, look at this. Like, the grass is wet, okay? There was rain here last night. It was all foggy this morning. And all these people are freaking out over nothing. It's called summer. You don't have to call it fire season all the time. You're just scaring the crap out of kids. And, this is all kind of, life. This is normal life stuff that you guys are supposed to be able to manage and, mitigate the risks of.
Well, you've obviously have a track record of sticking your neck out there for causes like this, freedom causes like this, but you're not the only Canadian that likes to hike the woods. Where are the people coming to aid you? Where are the people, where are the voices supporting you? Are they there? I mean, I'm not seeing it. It could be just because I'm in the U.S. and not Canada, but I mean, what about the support system behind you?
The support is coming from the citizen base, right? The citizenry is reaching out to me for support. I'm doing all kinds of interviews with more supportive media. There's also some hostile media in there as well, with the mainstream guys framing the issue as a safety one instead of a rights one, and describing me as a right winger, which to them means racist, and leaving out the fact that I'm a veteran of 20 years service and two wars. So there's some of that. I haven't seen any politician really weigh in on this in any meaningful way. There are some retired politicians who are disparaging me. I'm not going to hold my breath for one of the so-called conservatives here in Canada to come out and, take a stand on principle. Because all our parties in Canada are left-wing. I would be astonished to find out that even if the leader of the conservatives doesn't really buy the climate narrative, like, they do buy the climate narrative, and they try to push things like carbon capture and stuff like this. So I'm not holding my breath for any mainstream politician to come to my defense, that's for sure.
You know, this is the one thing that kind of boggles my mind, and I, it's not a situation where I think everybody wants, or everybody thinks like me or wants the same things that I want, but it's like, what do you think goes through other Canadians' mind? Because to me, it's like, hey, if I want to go out and hike in the woods, why, like, what do you mean I can't go hike in the woods? What do you mean I can't go take my dog for a walk in the woods? Hell, even if there was a fire, okay? If you want to go out in the woods in a fire, that's on you. Do Canadians, I see it in America too, it's like, do people just not understand? Once you give the government this power, you have no freedom. You won't even have basic freedom of movement.
Yeah, you don't. Effectively, we do not have basic freedom of movement, even though it is guaranteed under our Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And the way Canadians will react, I think, is in accordance with their Marxist conditioning. What I hear is they reframe the issues all the time. Like I mentioned, Globalist News here in Canada, they ran a story, I think, yesterday, and I spent, half an hour talking to these people about rights and freedoms and how these rights and freedoms are hard won. Many Canadians have paid the ultimate sacrifice for these freedoms. These freedoms are the legacy of our fallen. And to see our politicians and bureaucrats wiping their asses with the legacy of our fallen is a gross indignity to veterans and, I think, an affront to human dignity more broadly. But they will still reframe that as a safety issue. So I'm talking about a rights issue. They will reframe it as a safety issue. And they often reframe rights issues as needs issues as well. They will say, like, you don't need to go in for a walk in the woods. Well, yeah, okay, but you don't need your Gucci handbag either. I mean, we live in a free society. You may live your life as you see fit, so long as you bring no harm to another. So it does seem to be, to me at least, that the info campaigns to basically brainwash us into this utilitarian Marxist worldview have been broadly effective. But I think the more our leaders talk, the more people wake up, and that's what I'm trying to do, is keep that pressure on. And I love seeing Susan Holko out there and tell us that we need somebody
for
to babysit.
For your own safety, stay home.
At TheAlexJonesStore.com, I bring you whatever I personally think is the best and the coolest. That's our marketing plan. This knife sells all day long in stores for $100 or more. We bought a whole bunch of us. We can sell it to you for $78. Stainless steel, blacked out, double-edged, razor sharp, 1776 on the hilt, high-tech scabbard, hooks on your belt, doesn't come out, is amazing, right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com for 40% off despite the fact it's selling out. And then this, World War II updated trench knife, 10 inches, razor sharp, stainless steel, Spartan, tip of the spear. You can get this massively discounted up to 40% off right now with the Blades and Bullion Super Sale at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And that goes for these four silver collectible coins that are selling out as well, up to 40% off right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. So take action. Unless you've been hiding under a rock, everyone knows that Shilajit is one of the most incredible super nutrients, and they don't even know how it's formed deep under the earth. It's just got incredible amino acids and natural peptides that nothing else has. And what does it do for you? Everything. Your skin, your clarity, your focus. I'm on this stuff. Your wife, your girlfriend will thank you. That's just a little side issue. Shilajit's awesome, but this is the best, purest, strongest Shilajit with a whole bunch of other badass stuff in it. We throw the kitchen sink at you because we want it to work, and it will. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. So get this great t-shirt design and hundreds of others, the biggest selection, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, funding the Second American Revolution worldwide. God almighty.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit. He was right about every step of the way.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sambucus is available right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Now, Sambucus is a fancy word for elderberry. This elderberry concoction is mixed with vitamin C and zinc. It's gummies. They're absolutely delicious. I take two of them every single day as prescribed by the directions on the bottle. Helps with things like healthy stress levels, antioxidant and immune support. It promotes respiratory health, seasonal support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Now, not only with Ultimate Sambucus gummies are you getting a delicious way to fight for your immune system, but you're keeping InfoWars Wars on the air. We know that Alex Jones is under relentless attack. We know that InfoWars and this crew are under relentless attack as well. And it's not just us they're coming after. Frankly, it's you. They want to silence you. They want to kill your health. They want to kill your mind. And they want to subjugate you under a New World Order government. And so as far as I'm concerned, by going to thealexjonesstore.com and getting Ultimate Sambuca's gummies, you are not only fighting for your health, but you're fighting against the New World Order in the most effective way possible. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
And we've got a Canadian hero, really, Jeff Eveley. And I didn't get into his long track record of service here. It's very impressive. But now, engaging in pro-freedom resistance against the authoritarian Canadian regime that we are witnessing now in Canada, our neighbors to the north. You know, Jeff, I see really what you've done, similar to some stunts, some political stunts that I've done in the past. It really becomes more of even just a basic political stunt or a political point that you're trying to make, which is look at how authoritarian our government is. And then you try to make a public case with that to try to raise awareness. But the other aspect of this, which is also true, is look at how nonsensical it is. So aside from the angle of, hey, government authoritarianism here telling me I can't go into the woods, also, look at how goofy it is. They put a piece of police tape out here in the middle of the woods, and then they decide where you can go, where you can't go. The whole thing is extremely arbitrary. So I look at this. I find it an effective means of communication when you go out there, expose government tyranny, but also kind of have the angle of look at how ridiculous this is, because most people left or right can kind of sit there and say, yeah, this doesn't make any sense. That's interesting. So do you think... because I look at what we do in America, and usually when you have an effective campaign like this, you kind of back them off. You kind of back them off a little bit when you win in the court of public opinion. Is it the same in Canada, or do your political leaders clamp down even harder on you?
Pressure works. That is true. They do try to clamp down harder on us, like they did after the convoy. But I think that they did face a bit of a public backlash for what they still are facing a public backlash for what they did there, despite what happened in the last election. I mean, the Liberals did get reelected. I think what we accomplished at the convoy was we forced a tyrant to act like a tyrant. So we apply that pressure and then watch how stupid and abusive they become. I think we're going to see that, throughout this particular campaign. And, you know, I would say, like, I haven't really described it as a stunt either. It's an act of civil disobedience. I tried to keep it, as calm and rational as I could throughout the entire interaction with those conservation officers. I think that got me a lot further with them, than I would have gotten otherwise. And also, like, part of the reason why I published the video was hopefully to set an example that others can use to put the civil back in civil disobedience, because that does seem to be something that we've lost in the last several years here in Canada, is our civility.
An interesting point there. How do you keep civil disobedience civil? Maybe there are certain guardrails there, and sometimes we do press up against them. But really, I think it's all about effectiveness, right? It's all about effectiveness in communication. It's all about effectiveness in getting the message across. And I think when you talk about dealing, in your case, dealing with the conservation officers, it's like, hey, look, I'm not here to make you an enemy. I don't even have this viewpoint that you're my enemy. If anything, we need to be allies on this. I understand you got to do your job. So obviously, mm-hmm. You approach this very... you have a mindset of, hey, let me find out the best means of effective communication and presentation for what it is that I'm trying to prove here.
Yeah, I mean, I think you need to kind of understand where the other party is coming from. You know, try to put yourself in their shoes a little bit. And you know, Trump is quite good at this. He's pretty good, like, at making deals and things like that. And I think he really prides himself on being able to assess, you know, what makes people tick. So I just try to, and I was, you know, I was in the military, so I understand that, you know, these guys have a certain job to do and things like that. And I just try to show them as much understanding as I could to say, you know, look, you know, I'm not trying to make trouble for you guys. I'm after Tim Houston, our premier right now. Unfortunately, the only way for me to drag him into court is to get you guys to write me a ticket. So, like, I'm really just here for a little bit of paperwork. And I did my best to make it as painless for them as possible. I think they appreciated it, and it was effective for that reason. And like you said, sometimes like the situation needs to dictate. Under these circumstances, I think that this was the most effective approach. There have been other circumstances, you know, when I get a little bit more in your face and stuff like that. But this is not one of those times. So I think this is a good time to kind of take the temperature down a little bit. People cannot be rational and emotional at the same time. And they're driving the fear narrative. It's all fear and hatred in our narrative up here in Canada. And that's what people are acting on. If you act out of, if you act out of fear or you act out of anger, you will live to regret it. So let's let cooler heads prevail in this thing. And, you know, I think we'll be better off in the long run.
A bit of a lesson in civil disobedience, if you will. You can't be rational and emotional at the same time. That is so well said.
Thank you.
Let that ring true throughout everybody hearing this transmission. I'm not as familiar with the left-right paradigm in Canadian politics as I am with American politics. But what I see is the left wing, the radical left wing in America has kind of been able to own the nature conservation issue, let's say. And really, I don't even think it's about them wanting to preserve nature or even generally caring about the planet. I think it's really just more about control for them, and they just kind of use that as a means of control, a method of control, yes. Pretending to be environmentalist. It goes back to Democrats like Barbara Boxer and others in California. But really, to me, I think conserving nature, conserving the environment, to me, that's a right-wing issue. To me, that falls directly under the parameters of conservatism. And so what I kind of see is that in the jockeying between the left and right in America, sometimes the right, just like you say, will kind of get emotional, and they'll just, it's like, oh, we're just going to discount conservationists altogether, and we're just going to discount the environment altogether. Like, drill, baby, drill. It's like, no, I support drilling and utilizing our energy resources, absolutely, but that doesn't mean we discount the environment. That doesn't mean we discount nature. We actually do have to be the stewards. We do have to be conservatives when it comes to preserving the environment as well. But I've seen the right just let the left wing own that. I mean, I don't know, a fraction of voters, maybe 5-10%. It maybe impacts politically. But do you see a similar thing happening in Canada where the left wing just gets to own this issue for all the wrong reasons, and then the right wing, which naturally should be conservatists when it comes to nature, just kind of abandon it and get into like the political squabbles instead?
Yeah, and that's a very, I think, astute observation too, because, you know, woodsmen and hunters and fishermen and stuff like that, they tend to be more right-leaning. So the people who really enjoy nature and appreciate nature, they tend to be right-wing. But Patrick Moore, the co-founder of Greenpeace, he's got a good video for PragerU there where he talks about how the radicals colonized the environmental movement back in the 70s, because it was more scientific and it was about the environment initially, but the environmentalist movement essentially went Marxist back in the 70s, and it's kind of like this Gaia worship movement now, where humanity is seen as like the bourgeois class, and we're oppressing the environment as the proletariat class, and they're trying to overthrow the proletariat. He even says that they basically put the environmental concerns above human life. And, you know, you can hear the way that they talk about humans, like they're a plague or a scourge on the planet, like we're parasites, you know, just sucking the life out of Mother Earth and this kind of thing. So, there's a very dehumanizing quality to environmentalism on the left, but, on the right, I think it's really more about, you know, just the usual cold hard facts and, you know, what is right or wrong.
All right, Jeff. Well, you certainly have a long track record of heroic action, and this is just your latest there in the woods. Before I let you go, you know, we do have a large audience in Canada. I would just offer you some final words here.
You know, what I would say, well, first of all, let me plug my not-for-profit, Veterans for Freedom, because there's about 2 degrees of separation between us and you guys. Especially Drew McGilvery, our president, discovered a lady by the name of Kayla Pollack that's been on your show, quite a few times, and she's been wheelchair bound since she took the vaccine and is now pursuing legal action here in Canada. So, obviously we're cheering for her, and we tend to think of her as one of our own. So, there is that kind of, just a couple of degrees of separation between us. And also what I would say is, look, you know, we're a nation that says, lest we forget, not because, we need to remind ourselves to get out once a year and have a funeral for our fallen soldiers, but lest we forget what they stood for, lest we forget how hard won these freedoms that we all enjoy really are, and lest we forget that we all have a sacred civic duty to safeguard these freedoms, that inheritance for future generations. That's why we sang "We Stand on Guard for Thee" in our national anthem. So I think we gotta get back to be in the true North, strong and free. And I hope that the example that I set would be one to perhaps bring back the civility that we were so well known for internationally just prior to COVID.
All right, Jeff Evely, whenever there is an update on your legal situation with that citation, you let us know and we will update our audience.
Will do, sir. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, thank you for your time. There goes Jeff, really an impressive resume beyond just the civil disobedience that he's displaying. And, you know, it's the kind of stuff like that, it does inspire me. It does inspire me, and maybe I'm not somebody that needs inspiration like that, but some others do. Others do. Sometimes other people might be on the fence or even afraid to engage in civil disobedience like that, and you see actions from a guy like Jeff, and it can inspire you. So some people do need that inspiration, and anytime you can execute civil disobedience properly, it does have a profound impact. And so I think Jeff is living proof of that. All right, I'm with you here for about 15 more minutes before Chase Geyser is going to come in here, and then I'm going to get ready to go to the war room. And then tonight, Alex Jones and Nick Fuentes with a special broadcast. So a very busy day here at InfoWars. I want to give out the phone number again because I know Chase wants to take calls in the final hour. And I'll take a couple more here, too, if I have time before he takes over. 877-789-2539. Number is on the screen, 877-789-2539. I don't know if he's going to be wearing the new shirt from the AlexJonesStore.com. I doubt it. He's probably going to put on a shirt and a tie. But you can. We do finally have it up, the new Good Jeans T-shirt. So it was kind of an unintentional tease earlier, but it is now at the site. Great Jeans limited edition T-shirt. Get one for your wife or girlfriend. She'll love it. She won't hate it at all. She won't get mad at you. She won't take it as a not so subtle message. Great idea to improve your relationship with your significant other. if you're a larger man too, perfect shirt for you. It will really amplify your assets, if you will, with these great jeans, the Great Jeans limited edition T-shirt. And, of course, it's your support at thealexjonesstore.com that keeps us on the air. So we really appreciate that. We really appreciate our VIP members, thealexjonesstore.com. Okay, let's go to Sam in Tennessee. Sam, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Mr. Schroyer. Hey, I got probably talking a couple of things, but the thought in my mind right now is I was reading an article a few days ago on one of the Russian sites, and they were covering this lady, Diana Panchenko is her name.
And yeah, that's the Ukrainian journalist. She's a Ukrainian investigative journalist, correct?
Yes. And I was thinking that could be yes. So you already know where I'm going then. I was thinking that could potentially be an interesting interview subject if she can speak English. Everything I've seen from her has been transcripted into English. So
no, I do believe she speaks English. I actually do follow her work. And okay, okay. I have tried to reach out before. I've never been able to make the connection though. I have tried to reach out to get her on the air before, but it's never manifested.
Well, she's getting blocked left and right. That's probably not making it easy. Like the YouTube account got deleted for her now too. So they're making it very challenging to see anything this person's saying, which is exactly why I was bringing that up.
So, yeah, well, she's a Ukrainian investigative journalist, and she doesn't exactly toe the political line, let's say.
Yeah, well, what makes her interesting to me is she still considers herself Ukrainian, but she's opposed to Zelensky because she considers him basically a warmonger.
You know what? Here's what's amazing about it. Here's what's amazing about it, and I've unintentionally put the crew on this now, so they're saying we're going to get her on. So maybe I'll get her on. Maybe even as soon as today on the War Room, guys, if you want to try to set that up. Here's what's so incredible. When it comes to war propaganda, everything operates differently. And that's why, you know, I don't mean to be long-winded here, Sam, but you've opened up this can. And so I might as well go there. Folks, I've been working here at InfoWars since 2016. I've been doing political commentary since 2012 or 13. And I've dealt with all kinds of propaganda and pushback and attacks. I mean, you name it. And I don't get off kilter. I don't get unbalanced because of it. I'm used to it. Now I say that to bring this point home. When you're dealing with war propaganda, it is a totally different world. Political propaganda, most of the time, falls somewhere within the left-right paradigm. Political propaganda, you can usually go to like 1 or 2 degrees of discussion, debate, evidence, proof, argument, and people will be able to consume what it is you're getting at. Now, whether they agree or not, it's a different story. But it's like with just political propaganda, that's kind of like a light. It's like if you're trying to cut something, that's like thin. It's like you can kind of cut through that. It's kind of thin. War propaganda is, you know, that's like trying to cut through a 1,000-year-old redwood tree. So political propaganda, it's like a little apple tree. War propaganda is like a giant, the biggest trees in the world, trying to cut through that. Or like, what are those big trees in the California forest that like, they don't even burn down, they're so thick. So, it's a similar story in Israel, it's a similar story in Ukraine. Any dissenting voices, because the American perspective, the propaganda that Americans are being fed is that you have to support Ukraine no matter what. So anybody that comes out against that, the long knives are out, the attacks are out, the propaganda comes, there's nothing else like that. Political propaganda attacks, it's like, you know, get off my shoulder. But the war propaganda, that is heavy stuff. They will try to destroy you. They will try to destroy your reputation. They will come after your family. And I say that to make this point. Of all the stuff that I've done here at InfoWars, of all the different attacks that I've fallen under, all the different propaganda movements targeting me, everything else, I think the most intense one is probably over the Israeli war right now. Now, if you recall, when we started coming out against the war in Ukraine, they started putting us on hit lists. On hit lists. Now the same thing is happening. So you come out against the war in Ukraine, they put you on a hit list. You come out against the war in Israel, they put you on lists. It's unlike anything I've ever seen. And that's because it's beyond just political power. It's money. It's land. It's resources. It's permanent political infrastructure. So yeah, you're somebody in Israel that's against Netanyahu. They're not going to let you're not getting out. That message is not getting out. How often in Western media do you see tens of thousands of people in the streets protesting Netanyahu in Israel every week? You don't see it one time. They never show you that. That's not allowed to get out. You're in America. You're supposed to support what Israel is doing, period, no matter what. They even try to tell you it's Christian now, which might be the most offensive thing, quite frankly, as a Christian, that I, as a Christian, have some sort of a biblical duty to support the landmass, the nation state of Israel, which is less than 100 years old on the map, and is a total biblical fallacy that the landmass of Israel and its government has anything to do with the Israel of the Bible. It's two totally different things. But this might be the most offensive, that somehow I, as a Christian, must support what Israel is doing in the Gaza Strip. It's my biblical doctrine. No, it's not, and that's offensive, and that's blasphemous for you to even say that. Like Jonathan Greenblatt comes out, and now Christianity is anti-Semitic. Oh, yeah. Now just Christianity is anti-Semitic. And where are the Christians standing up for this? Of course, they're nowhere. And you've got all the bought and paid for big church pastors that are owned by Israel. They tell you it's all part of your doctrine. It's all a big lie. So my point is that is the hardest propaganda to cut through, is war propaganda. There's so much money invested. There's so many different layers and levels of propaganda that when you try to explain it to people, they can't even believe it because it sounds so absurd. And yet, even to somebody who's not politically active or engaged and can just kind of sit here and witness it, they get it. That's why Israel is losing the battle so much. Because you don't, it's almost like the more politically informed you are on these issues, it's harder to even see it. Whereas somebody who's politically uninformed just looks at it very neutrally and says, geez, why is there all this pro-Israel stuff all around me? Gee, why do I only hear about the plight of Israel, but all the stuff I see every day happening in the Gaza Strip is, why am I being told that I don't have to see that, and that's propaganda? So, long answer here, but my point is that I've never seen a more well-organized, well-funded, intense propaganda campaign than I'm witnessing right now for the war that Israel is launching in, by the way, four different countries now. So it's heavy, folks. It's heavy. And I talk to other people in the media that don't work at InfoWars or, you know, they've got other things to think about. And they'll either say, hey, thank you for doing this. I can't do it for X, Y, or Z reason. Or they'll say, you know, how do you deal with all of this? Like, I just made one statement and I've never had so much hate in my life. I've never been called an anti-Semite before. But I just make one statement that's not pro-Israel, and now all of a sudden they're putting me on a list? So believe me, I get it. But you know what? This is all part of the process, folks. It's all part of the process. The global awakening, the American Renaissance, this was always going to be part of the process. And really, it's sad. It's sad that this is what's going on. But in kind of a dark, twisted way, it's good. In a dark, twisted way, it's good. Because we are just going through the dominoes, if you will, of the different corrupt establishments that have been destroying our country for years. And Israel happens to be one of them. So we're just at that level now. That's just the truth. And so they try to play this game, and Greenblatt at the ADL does it. They all do it. They try to play this game of, if you don't support Israel, you're anti-Semitic, which is just a lie. It's just a blatant and disgusting and egregious lie. When you have Orthodox Jews all over the world protesting against Netanyahu, and you have Israeli Jews in the streets every week protesting against Netanyahu, but the American media is so controlled by this propaganda wing that they don't even let you see it. All right, I'll squeeze one in quickly here. Glenn in St. Louis, quickly. I got 60 seconds. I'm sorry I went long. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Owen?
Good, thank you.
Hey, we all have to remember note that Trump view here is this. Spirit is the sound of the spirit. Since 1776, we the people have lived within it. That's the same Trump that was heard around the world. Get it? It's the Trump behind the Trump. You know, that's for sure. So these people are trying to graft themselves onto the American way of life. And, you know, why are we getting beat up? Because we got it right. And, you know, we just, they have to remember, you know, you're obliged to abide when you cross that line.
Well, yeah, Trump has just become a political vehicle now that all these people are trying to ride in on and seize power. That's how I see it. The tech people, the Israel lobby, it's like everybody's just trying to ride in on the vehicle of Trump, and then he just kind of ends up serving as a distraction from the real issues.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
How do I explain to people that my tongue is blue? Because I love this stuff, methylene blue. I'm able to work like 18-hour days sometimes. This stuff is like rocket fuel.
I didn't know you were going to plug this. You even ordered it yourself, I later learned. What has the effect of our medical-grade methylene blue been on you, Roger?
Incredible, both physical and mental energy and focus. I mean, it really is like rocket fuel. Oh, you still like Brain Force? Back when I did the show with Owen Schroyer, the original, the real War Room, I was a big aficionado of Brain Force and Brain Force Force Plus. This is even a greater product. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Well, I've not had any since Friday. I only take it every couple days. So I'm going to take my dose of methylene blue at my Topo Chico. It is amazing. And people ask me, what does it do? It cleans out your mitochondria. It skips the oxidization process of the cell. It's like iodine to the next level. It is such a game changer. Roger Stone, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. God bless you.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I am Chase Geyser, your host for the remaining hour before Owen Schroyer takes back over on the War Room for two more hours until Alex Jones and Nick Fuentes have a historic debate again at 5 p.m. Central, live, everywhere InfoWars is broadcast, especially on at Real Alex Jones. Make sure you follow there. We have this new news. I'm going to take a call. Specifically, I'm going to take Max in Wisconsin here in a second. Anna Paulina Luna was just on the Joe Rogan Show. And apparently, she talked about the UFO stuff quite a bit. I don't know if the Epstein stuff came up. It sounds like maybe it didn't. Seems to be a little bit of a touchy subject, no pun intended. But the UFO phenomenon did come up, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But first, I want to hear about reptilians from Max in Wisconsin. Max in Wisconsin, what's on your mind?
Hey, Chase, how you doing today?
Great, thanks.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to talk about how Alex Jones calls them the reptoid creatures.
Yeah.
And people don't really talk about it like, well, some people, celebrities, have talked about it in lore and movies, but people rarely mention that it's biblically in canon. It's accurate in the Bible, where four times it's mentioned in the Bible.
The reptiles? Yes,
Matthew 3:7, Matthew 12:34.
Not to mention the snake in the garden is a reptile, right?
Yep, but specifically it says brood of vipers, which is interesting because it's specifically saying offspring of a viper, which is a reptile. And viper is different from the other snakes because they have a triangle-shaped head, which is weird. And their poison is hemotoxic, poisons the blood, messes with the blood. So, you know, if you're going to, it's kind of, you know, maybe they're just using it as like a phrase, but I don't know, in the Bible it's kind of specific. And if you look in Greek, it's the same for translation.
Interesting.
So I think, you know, it's interesting, like how David Icke's talked about it for a long time too.
That's another guy that eating an apple through a picket fence.
Yeah, and like other times in history, even in like small areas of history, like on Easter Island, before the Birdman cult, where it was like the Hunger Games, they had class warfare, and the poor took over and attacked the rich, and then the rich were like, "Hey, don't kill us. We'll give you to our real leaders." And they showed the real leaders, and they were like these demonoid creatures.
What do you think of old David Icke?
Mixed bag. I think when you go that deep down the rabbit hole, you get burned a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I think he's a total faggot. Family.
He also said he was Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that. He said he was...
He looks like he got kicked out of Pink Floyd, and he still is bitter about it, you know? He's got that, like, David Gilmour vibe without the talent.
Weird. Doesn't mean they can be wrong, too, you know?
Look, David Icke, he's brilliant. I don't know about all the reptiles and things. I think metaphorically it makes more sense than literally. I'm sure that there are interdimensional beings. That's exactly what's described in the book of Genesis. I mean, let us make man in our image. You think God was using the royal we back then? I mean, that's exactly what's described. It's totally in line with simulation theory, everything else. In terms of the UFO phenomenon, are there aliens here or not? I don't know. I think 99% of it is advanced military technology that's siloed in terms of classified. Therefore, you know, we think that it's alien, but it's not. It's actually us just screwing around, some siloed team screwing around with propulsion technology, alternative power sources, alternative propulsion, anti-gravity stuff, time, space stuff. It's even admitted by leadership now that we have weapons that can transcend the bounds of space and time. That's the exact language that was used. I don't think people are reptiles pretending to be humans here. I think there are some people that are possessed by interdimensional demons that don't even necessarily know it, that are operating. You've got the Adam Schiffs and the Hillary Clintons and the Nancy Pelosi's. I mean, these people have lost all of their humanity altogether. Maybe even David Icke's one of them. I mean, I'm not trying to just bash him incessantly, but he's just so bitter and jealous and envious and pathetic and frankly obtuse. Folks, more on the other side. I'm going to show you some of this Anna Paulina Luna conversation with Joe Rogan about interdimensional beings and UFOs that is breaking the internet as we speak. Stay tuned.
Unless you've been hiding under a rock, everyone knows that Shilajit is one of the most incredible supernutrients, and they don't even know how it's formed deep under the earth. It's just got incredible amino acids and natural peptides that nothing else has. And what does it do for you? Everything. Your skin, your clarity, your focus. I'm on this stuff. Your wife, your girlfriend will thank you. That's just a little side issue. Shilajit's awesome, but this is the best, purest, strongest Shilajit with a whole bunch of other badass stuff in it. We throw the kitchen sink at you because we want it to work, and it will. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. So get this great t-shirt design and hundreds of others, the biggest selection, at thealexjonesstore.com, funding the Second American Revolution worldwide. God almighty.
Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
I can also tell you, and this might sound crazy, but based on our investigations and stuff that we've seen, okay, there is definitely something that I think would rival what we know currently with physics and a tech that potentially is out there that we don't have the ability to reproduce, because it would basically be like dropping a cell phone, right, off back during the time of maybe caveman. So like we just don't have the tech to develop it yet. What I can also tell you is based on our interviews, and this has been something that you can go back and watch with the congressional hearings, but I was actually able to ask some of the witnesses, you know, what are these things? And they keep saying interdimensional. And then when you talk about the interdimensional aspect of, you know, are these things pre-existing, maybe outside of what we currently know as our own dimension. That stuff can kind of all sound crazy, but at the end of the day, you know, my job as an investigator is to receive all the information, decipher it, and then ultimately from a congressional aspect, if you do have contractors that are withholding information or operating outside of the purview of the federal government, I mean, there's budgetary issues, but there's definitely something that I can tell you with confidence that exists that we don't know how to explain currently.
So when you say that it operates outside our understanding of physics, what specifically are you saying? Like what happened?
To I guess break it down in simple terms is that I think that some of the tech that exists, that whatever these things have, these energy things have.
What do you mean?
Well, they call them interdimensional beings. I think that they can actually operate through the time spaces that we currently have. And that's not something that I came up with on my own. That's based on stuff that we've seen. That's based on information that we've been told. And then also, too, I think that there's this historical aspect of, you know, this gets into the deeper theories and concepts of religion, and I think the history that we currently know, and that kind of spins off into another topic of, you know, you have the modern day Bible, you have this aspect of Bibles that are books of the Bible that have been removed that explain and kind of touch on these topics. And I think that we're in a time and age where you have such a vast amount of information that we have access to via social media, via your cell phone, via the internet. And so it's really changing the way that we understand, you know, the origins of life and the spiritual reality that we know.
When you say interdimensional beings, that they know that these are interdimensional beings, how do they know that?
That, so based on testimony, would be based on witnesses that have come forward. But what I can tell you is
the witnesses just were told that they were interdimensional?
No, that they've seen things. And what I can tell you without getting into classified conversations is that there have been incidences that I believe where very credible people have reported that there have been movement outside of time and space.
That's very vague.
Yeah, so look,
I know she's obsessed with the Book of Enoch and this idea that there were the watchers that descended on the planet and taught us all the stuff similar to what we saw in Pandora's box. The discovery of fire. And that there was God's judgment against the watchers and they were eradicated from the planet, but maybe it's the case that their bloodlines still exist within humanity, and maybe everybody with a negative rhesus factor in their blood type, whether you're B negative, A negative, O negative, whatever, AB negative, maybe you're descended from these watchers. Maybe you have some advanced, inexplicable attributes of your blood in your DNA. And maybe that's why it goes into the vipers thing, because it's a hemotoxic. It's a blood thing. But there's no way that anybody's going to believe or take seriously any of the stuff, as real as it might be, if someone's coming out disclosing it on Joe Rogan that sounds like this. Let's watch.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our
children. He's trying not to laugh. All right, Sean in Rhode Island. Sean in Rhode Island, you are live on the air. What do you think, sir?
Hey, Chase. What's going on, boss?
Hey, man.
Hey, man. I just, I was listening to you earlier when you were covering the first hour there for Alex. And I tell you, man, you had me cracking up. I'm a mailman. I start my day with a scoop of the Optimal Human. I'm doing the blue now, and I do the X2 religiously on top of some other stuff that you guys have sold me. But yeah, you were talking about the Democrats, and you had said something. I don't know the exact quote, but you were like, "Those guys are faggots." Like I just died laughing. And my putting mail in the mailbox, the people still on the front porch was like, "What are you laughing at?" I said, "Oh, I'm listening to InfoWars. It's not Chase." And they're like, "Oh, I listen to that kid every now and again." It's all right.
That's funny.
But yeah, man, I tell you, like, these people are crazy. Actually, first of all, I wasn't sure if it was you, Alex, Owen, or or Harrison that had said, probably going back a few weeks, even maybe a month. I listen to you guys every day, so I'm kind of, you know, it's one big blur. But
yeah, it's one big show.
Which one of you guys had said that it's politically correct that you can now say the word fag and you can now say the word retard? Was that you?
I'm not sure who said that. I certainly believe that. I think it was that sounds like a Harrison comment, but I think I want to agree with that too. It's one of the great, honestly, listen, man, if we never get the Epstein list released, if we wind up in World War III, if we go to war with Iran, if we totally sell out to Israel, at least we can say fag and retard now. I mean, wasn't it all worth it?
100%, man. But hey, I got the Alex Jones shirt. Well, I got like 15 of you guys' shirts, but I got the new one that says, I'm sorry, but I'm kind of retarded.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
Yeah. I'm not going to be honest with you. That's my new go-to. So now every picture you see with me and my wife, you know, she posts online. She always gets comments because I'm wearing I'm kind of retarded, or between that and I did bust out the Alex Jones 28 for president shirt. And actually, I had spoken to him last week, 2 weeks ago, and I'd asked him, I said, when are you running? He says, well, I'm waiting for the tap on the back like Carlson said. You know?
Oh, man. Can you imagine if Alex ran?
Oh, my God. I'm telling you, man, he would get votes. He would get votes.
Yeah.
He would get votes. And, I'm you know, Alex, president, Owen, VP, you're Speaker of the House.
Don't ever liken me to Mike Johnson, man.
Oh, my God. Oh, I love how you make fun of that fool with the Arby Parker glasses.
Yeah, talk about a faggot. You want to talk about a faggot? Look at that guy.
Oh, my God.
He's central casting, man. I'm not saying he's a pedophile, but if I was going to make a movie that featured a pedophile, he'd be the first person I pick.
You're stealing Alex's quotes. I love it.
Sean, thanks for your call, man. I appreciate you. Let's go to Kyle in West Virginia. Kyle, what is on your mind?
Hey, Chase, thanks for having me on. I was just calling to give a different perspective on how we can combat this global government. You know, I've been down with the truth movement for a long time and exposing, and now I've been taking a different route, and it's kind of like the 1776 American way we left Europe. You know, we kind of came over here and we didn't use anything from the king, so we had a good stance of why we didn't need to pay taxes. And I've been experimenting with water wheels, tying them to the solar battery, and I really think the best way to vocalize this is to start to move out and get land and think of a way to not use these roads and wires, because I think that's the consensual argument we're always keep coming back, is why they take our taxes and build this AI and data centers everywhere, is because we consensually use the services they provide. We have a better stance to defund them and put them more and check them if we get
back.
The
only real way that you can fight back against the federal government is to encourage your state to not take any federal money. But all of our universities in every state, all of our state governments themselves take millions upon millions, and Texas is particularly egregious at this. I mean, the federal government gives millions upon millions upon millions upon millions. It might even be billions of dollars to Texas every year for things like roads, infrastructure, energy contracts, education, whether it's higher education or not. And so we're so entrenched financially at the state level with the federal government that you would never get a state to secede again in the future in the way that you could in like 1862. Right? There's no way that's going to happen. So it's so boring and lame, and I frankly hate it. But that cliche that you have to worry about local politics is so true. But local politics suck. They are like the Diet Pepsi of politics. It's lame. It's boring. It's the dumbest people with the sleaziest brands, with the dumbest flyers, with the most retarded policies whatsoever, arguing with each other. I mean, that's where the momdamis come from. They come from local politics. I'm going to run for council, or I'm going to run for mayor, and I'm just going to work my way up through the state house, and eventually maybe I'll be a real life House of the Representatives, and then maybe I could be a senator after that, and then maybe after that I could be a governor, and then maybe after that I could be president. But they all, when they start at this like level, it's just so gay and fake and boring and weak and pathetic, and they never get anything done. And every once in a while, they do some stupid thing, like leave the state when they're supposed to stay in the state, so they get some kind of national awareness for some reason. And it's just like, who cares? I mean, the bullet in my skull is looking pretty good when I start thinking about how important it is for me to get involved in local politics. I'm just totally sick of it. But as long as these states are completely dependent on the federal government, it's never going to happen. But I'm glad to know that you're talking about, you know, going off the grid and you're thinking about off-grid stuff, because after all, we do have an entire cabal of leftist globalist mockingbird pundits that are talking about the dangers of climate change when literally everything else I can possibly think of is more dangerous. I mean, look, they're complaining about climate change. 10,000 dogs every year are killed by police in the United States of America. You know, you're more likely to have your dog killed by police than you are to be murdered by anyone in the United States of America. But I guess climate change is the biggest problem ever. Let's watch.
I think it's really important to be clear about what is going on here. And a relatively small crime problem is being used for specific authoritarian purposes that we know and understand. So let's be clear about, D.C. does have one really big crime problem, which was the January 6th insurrection incited by the current President of the United States, and his first act in coming back was pardoning all the people who tried to overturn constitutional republic order.
Oh my God, it's
in Washington, D.C. When I go to D.C., I'm not afraid of losing my wallet so much as I'm afraid of losing my vote. I'm not afraid of losing my wallet so much as I'm afraid that my children's freedom to breathe will be stolen in a world where climate change policy is non-existent. I'm afraid that the future of middle class people will be stolen by the very things you were talking about, cutting the safety net, cutting Medicaid, cutting rural hospitals.
Right, right.
So there is carjacking.
And of course,
there is a carjacking going on.
But you
got to
worry about two things. You got to worry about two things at the same time.
Let me just finish my point.
Oh, please. Maybe I'm just burned out. Maybe I've been doing this for so long. I don't know how Alex has done it for 30 years. For 30 years, he's been looking at clips from people like that. That retarded, that pathetic, that just totally corrupt, bought out, sold out, whatever you want to name it. And he's been talking about it, analyzing and predicting the future and fighting and fighting. I've been doing this for like 2 years, once a week. And I'm already about ready to just like jump through the camera and strangle him until he has a normal haircut. He looks like he's been struck by lightning right after central casting for the live-action version of The Incredibles. Is he the same guy as the villain from the first Incredibles movie that has, like, the cape and the wings or whatever, and he's just jealous because he wanted to be a superhero the whole time, and then he turns into a bad guy at the end? He's exactly the same person as the villain from the first Incredibles movie. And I hate to use a Disney reference because we all know that Disney is disgusting, but I do have little kids around, and we do watch The Incredibles sometimes, and he popped right out of that movie. Super villain. Jim in Florida. Jim, what is on your mind? Please give me some good news.
Hey, how you doing, Chase?
Good.
Good. Listen, I've been listening to you guys for a couple of years now. You're the best. All you guys are the best. And, you know, just really excited that you guys picked me. This is the first time I ever called. I do want to give a plug to all your products, the Methylene Blue. I've been buying all the products forever. And I don't know if you're listening at any time and you're not supporting you guys by buying your products, then shame on you. I say that, you know, humbly, and I say it because I would like to be a lot more involved as an activist for the right, but I don't know what to do half the time, to be honest with you. It's frustrating. I listen to all the things. I want to comment on the Epstein files, you know. I mean, when that first happened and the right was going berserk about this, my first thought was, if anyone really thought anything substantial or worthwhile was going to be around after Trump won the election, I think they're just delusional. I never thought for a minute, the second that Trump won, that there would be any records, documents, or anything worthwhile left for us to take and attack the left with. So going after that just seemed like a colossal waste of time. My thought is just prioritizing some things and going after what's obvious and out there, and maybe like some of the NGOs and the Soroses and part of the governments that have aided and abetted the invasion at our border for so many years. I mean, that seems like the low-hanging fruit that we could actually get some traction on and do something about. But the Epstein files, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I think they're long gone. I think anything worthwhile on that has been gone the minute Trump won the election, and I just think we're wasting our time. And then I got a lot to say on Israel, too. I'm about tired of funding all these wars, and I don't know.
Well, you know, Jim, the only bad genocide was the Holocaust. All the other ones are okay.
Listen, man, I'm just so tired of us getting involved in things when our whole culture is just in a chokehold by the left.
And you know what we should do? We should make a montage where we take all the imagery of the starving children in Gaza and we turn it black and white, and then we intermix it with imagery of the Nazis in World War II footage, so it looks like they're Holocaust victims from World War II. You know, and see if we can get Netanyahu or somebody else or like Mark Levin to retweet the montage of the atrocities of the Nazis in World War II. And then, of course, it would come out, oh, actually, those are the children that you're starving in Gaza. And look, I frankly don't give a damn about the children in Gaza. I got to tell you the truth. I don't care. I just don't want to fund the Holocaust against them, the genocide against them. I don't want that blood on my hands. I care more about the interests of American children than I care about the interests of Gazan children. I care more about the interests of American Jews than I care about the interests of Israel. To me, they're both villains in this story. Israel, Gaza, you name it. They all suck in the whole entire region. They're all terrible, from cousin marriage to corruption to blackmail rings to the little boys with their painted nails for their pimps in Afghanistan. The entire Middle Eastern region is total trash, and it's not bigoted for me to say so. It's not racist for me to say so, because it has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with inferior culture, something that they have elected. I'm not criticizing them based on their immutable characteristics, which is what a racist would do. I'm criticizing them based on the religion that they've chosen and the fact that 40% of the entire population in the Middle East is having sex with their first or second cousin through marriage and then breeding generation after generation of trash. Retard, faggy, pedophile, trash. And then they're shipping them all over Europe, totally ruining the place to the point when you go to Europe, you're trying to find structures or statues or mementos that are 2,000 years old because all the new stuff sucks. It's like going somewhere that used to be awesome. And they're trying to do the same thing here in the United States of America. 1,000 mosques in Texas. You look up the Pew Research studies, what percentage of Muslims? It's like an infection. It's a disease. Think that suicide bombing is sometimes acceptable? But every time they do some suicide bombing, it's some bullshit target. They don't even pick cool targets. You're talking about going after the NGOs and going after the George Soros. I'm not advocating for violence or anything here. But you want to solve some of the world's problems, maybe eliminate some of these people from power. Like, look, nobody blow them up. Nobody shoot them. Don't do that. It's wrong. We don't advocate for violence. And even if we felt that violence was necessary, we couldn't advocate for violence because it's illegal. So I'm not advocating for violence whatsoever. But these people are so retarded, they don't even choose good targets. They fly into buildings that have recently been insured. It's unbelievable to me. It should be so irrelevant. There was a time in this country where it was very easy to go your entire life without knowing the name of a single world leader anywhere else other than the United States of America, because America was all that mattered. Everybody was coming here. It was safer. There was consensus around the culture. And now you can name all the leaders of France, Germany, United Kingdom, all these other countries. Who's in the WEF? Who's a young leader of the World Economic Forum? You name them all, because they've all suddenly become so relevant to our domestic politics because the Mike Johnsons and others have totally sold out all of our interests to an international cabal. I mean, what the fuck? There's that famous cliche statement. I dream of the day when my children ask me, what was war? I dream of the day when my children ask me, what's outside of America? Because it doesn't matter. This place should be like Pleasantville. Total consensus where the street ends, the street begins. Everything's figured out. Everything's in perfect harmony. There's only justice and goodness and wholesomeness. And we can develop it and be creative and innovate and then become interplanetary. Hell, man, we should know more about what's going on Mars and the moon than we know what's going on in the Middle East. we're talking about the future of our planet instead of some feud that's thousands of years old. The Epstein thing, whatever, man. Dude was obviously a sex trafficker. Dude was obviously I guess he wasn't technically a pedophile because all the girls that he was molesting underage were past puberty. If it bleeds, it breeds, right, Epstein? Don't you think maybe they needed a few more summers? And I know that it's all being covered up because Trump doesn't want so-and-so to come out, or maybe he got added to the list, or maybe the list says that Melania was a hooker that was introduced to him by Epstein. Maybe she was a hooker the whole time, and it's just too embarrassing. I don't know. I don't care. But the fact that we just don't get to experience justice because he wants to protect his nut? I like Trump. I agree with him. I hope everything goes well in Alaska on Friday. I hope he continues to kick major butt and stop the bleeding at the border. Maybe he'll find more than just 10,000 of the 320,000 kids. But I'm about sick of it. And I worked my ass off for the last 2 years, dedicated my life, burned all the ships to getting him elected, to getting this administration in. And I want to start seeing some results. And if it doesn't work this time, then I've totally lost faith in the system, and I'm going to take the information war somewhere else. I'm going to start fighting these people some other way. And it's going to get ugly because I'm feeling rowdy. But as of today, as of right now, the number one best way to fight these people, this evil, is by going to thealexjonesstore.com. We just launched the Bovine Colostrum Plus yesterday. Bovine Colostrum is a nutrient-rich milky fluid produced by cows in the first few days after giving birth, designed to support newborn calves, but it's packed with proteins, antibodies, growth factors, essential nutrients like vitamins A, D, and E, and minerals, and zinc as well, plus all the other incredible benefits. I could just go on and on and on. This is the first product that has outsold Methylene Blue since we launched Methylene Blue, and for good reason. So get it right now, not just because it's incredible for your cellular recovery and your defense matrix and the energy and focus that it'll give you and your gut and all that, but because you're keeping InfoWars on the air. Stay with us for more of your calls on the other side of this very short break.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action. Taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone. That is the precursor to glutathione and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com for 50% off. I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that. At thealexjonesstore.com, I bring you whatever I personally think is the best and the coolest. That's our marketing plan. This knife sells all day long in stores for $100 or more. We bought a whole bunch of them, so we can sell it to you for $78. Stainless steel, blacked out, double-edged, razor sharp, 1776 on the hilt, high-tech scabbard, hooks on your belt, doesn't come out, is amazing, right now at thealexjonesstore.com for 40% off despite the fact it's selling out. And then this, World War II updated trench knife, 10 inches, razor sharp, stainless steel, Spartan, tip of the spear. You can get this massively discounted up to 40% off right now with the Blades and Bullion Super Sale at thealexjonesstore.com. And that goes for these four silver collectible coins that are selling out as well, up to 40% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. So take action.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. You're listening to Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host for the next 24 minutes before the wonderful, incredible Owen Schroyer takes over in the war room for just 2 hours before Alex Jones and Nick Fuentes go head-to-head in what's called a debate but will wind up only being a interesting conversation. Let's go to Jennifer. Jennifer in Georgia, what is on your mind, young lady?
Hello. I was just going to say that, like, I listen to y'all, all of you, throughout the day. I keep you on my phone and listen to you on speaker while I'm doing my house chores. Mm-hmm. And yesterday I was listening to Harrison and he got very angry at one point. And I was like, whoa, that's what he was getting so angry. And when I was, like, looking at my phone, I saw people, like, telling him, like, dude, relax. Like, relax, Harrison, chill out. And I'm over here like, no, I wish more people would get as angry as he does. I share that energy because it's very frustrating that we have a president who keeps saying what all the evidence is against the people who have been against him for a very long time, and there's nothing being done about it, you know? And if nothing gets done now, we're going to lose our country. And it's unacceptable. Like, people need to get that angry. Like, I don't know what else it's going to take, honestly.
Yeah, I agree with you. And look, I'm optimistic because we haven't really seen grand juries before used against these people. There is some of a glass ceiling being broken, at least a little bit here. So there is hope and a lot of optimism that something will actually be done. But I am not going to count my money before it's deposited into the bank. So at this point, I'm hopeful, but I'm still in prove it mode. You know what I mean? I think there is going to be some indictments, but it's very likely that there won't be two because there never has been in the past. But I mean, I got to be careful what I say here because what I really think is unacceptable for me to say. I mean, we're on radio. I don't even know if what I really think is protected by the First Amendment. I don't know. And so I'm going to just try to be really careful. I'm going to try to be really professional and respectful here. But I've never felt closer to the Founding Fathers in my entire life. Let's go to Nick in New York. Nick in New York, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, Chase? Thanks for taking my call. Love your show.
Thanks.
So Alan Dershowitz sat on Fox to Laura Ingraham that the Rothschilds, Lynn Rothschild and her husband, introduced him to Epstein. And then Epstein survivor victim Maria Farmer, you should really interview her, have her on. She told Whitney Webb that Ghislaine Maxwell told her the Rothschilds are her greatest protector. And she was actually under threat, basically, from Lynn Rothschild. Lynn Rothschild, WikiLeaks came out of the email. She called Hillary Clinton her loyal, adoring pal. And it's funny how Hillary took out Gaddafi, who was trying to unite Africa under a golden dinar currency, right? We know the Rothschilds helped create the Federal Reserve. Thomas Jefferson in 1815 or 1816, wrote a letter to John Taylor warning about, he said, the banking establishments are more dangerous than standing armies. And then that was one year after 1816, 1815, which Alex always talked about. That's when the Rothschilds and Henry Ford wrote a whole book called The International Jew, describing that the scenario of the Rothschilds taking over the Bank of England. And then basically that's the whole world at that point. That's the empire. And then they tried to attack us. The War of 1812 didn't really work, so they installed their central bank. Owen brought up how most of the prime ministers of Israel are like Ukrainian. Well, it's the Khazarian mafia. 2012, great study by an Israeli-American proved that most of the people in Israel now are just Eastern Europeans. That's what Owen was talking about. 1917, Balfour Declaration. Rothschilds ordered their government, they own the England, to create modern Israel. And then they also do the Bolshevik Revolution, which Jones talked about yesterday. That was them. They funded it. Warburgs and all that. And this Council on Foreign Relations, David, all their agents, Rockefeller, Soros, Gates. So we need to ban these families from the country from doing business. Kind of like El Salvador banned George Soros. We got to start doing that. Because Trump's in bed. The Rothschilds bailed out Trump's casinos in the 90s. Wilbur Ross, then he made him Commerce Secretary, added $8 trillion to debt. We're all screwed now. Thomas Massie said this recent bill, this big, beautiful bill, is going to add $30 trillion. We're done. We're already paying $1 trillion in interest a year. And so we got to start. We got to start saying what's going on. Lynn Rothschild's buddies with Trump too. We got to start talking to Maria Farmer, saying who's running this island, who are they protecting? I mean, Jones said he told Tim Dillon Howard Lutnick is implicated. That's like his top advisor. He's always giggling and laughing as Trump
Jeffrey calls Epstein's
the
neighbor.
Files a hoax. Yeah, Epstein's neighbor. Then he missed work, like Larry Silverstein on 9/11. By the way, Zim Construction, one of the biggest construction companies. Only company to vacate the World Trade Center from 1996 to 01 to 9/11, and they're Israeli, and then they left 1 week before 9/11. They completed all of a sudden they decided spring of 2001 they wanted to move to Norfolk, right? And then they vacated 1 week before 9/11. And you got the dancing Israelis, everything else. I mean, you had them holding up lighters, taking pictures of the towers. That was the dancing Israelis, Mossad. So it's like it's in the New York Times. They were holding up lighters, taking pictures. So these people. We need a new 9/11 investigation. That's the biggest attack on the U.S. in our history. Biggest attack on us. And Israel did it with the CIA, who clearly is just is run by Israel, run by the Rothschilds, right? And then their agents, the Rockefellers, Bill Gates, Soros.
Yeah, nobody's looking at this. And if you go to CNN or MSNBC or any other major news outlet, in fact, if you guys have Fox in there, just pull it up. I bet you they're talking about some stupid puff piece story or some boring whatever. What's going to happen between Putin and Trump on Friday? Like, they're not covering any of this stuff. And, like, I don't know if I agree with everything that you just said, because you said a lot of things, and I haven't looked into everything that you said. I'm sure you're telling the truth. I could just tell by listening to you. But that being said, all things that deserve way more investigation and accountability than anything else that's being covered on the mainstream media. I just want to know what the marquee says, what the lower third says, the headline says on Fox News right now. It's like, I don't understand why Americans are distracted with every problem except for the problems that matter. It's Christians are the same way. They're distracted with everything in their lives except for like the one thing that matters. They totally disregard the fall of man and then trying to be more like Jesus Christ and the fact that everything that we're doing is good versus evil on the most fundamental and astronomical scale simultaneously. It's like one magical giant fractal. The more you zoom in, it's the same shape, and the more you zoom out, it's the same shape of good versus evil from every little thing you do to every macro decision that's made on the plane of the earth that we were created to inhabit by interdimensional beings, God and his angels, or whatever you want to call them. It's all happening right now, and we're all distracted talking about Justin Bieber. To call out to the famous Magellan rant from Alex Jones. I feel that frustration now because you called in, you listed 17 things more important than anything mentioned by any mainstream media outlet in the last 1700 days. There's never any accountability for JFK, Martin Luther King, MK Ultra, 9/11, COVID-19, the response to COVID-19, the AIDS crisis in the 80s, the fact that the pharmaceutical companies gave tens of thousands of people AIDS knowingly in the United States of America during that time. Every single thing our government ever does to screw us, to rape us in the ass, every single time, they're totally accountable. You want to talk about the Me Too movement? They're locking up Harvey Weinstein. Who's locking up the federal government? Because the federal government has been raping 350 million Americans for years in every single way imaginable, with their time, with their lawsuits, with their taxes, with their lies, with their manipulations, with their gaslighting. I mean, psychologically, financially, economically, national security-wise, too, just abused by our own government incessantly. Well, they had the audacity to send this 7-foot-tall Nephilim James Comey out there to look at you with this smug face and his pretty eyelashes and say, oh, 8647, I had no idea what that meant. So what the hell were you doing running the FBI if you don't know what it means to 86 somebody, you fag? I'm sorry. I'm burned out. John in North Carolina, give me some good news for the love of God.
Hey, Chase, thanks for taking my call. Look, I've got two pieces of information to help with the disclosure war here. One, you guys have to have Ashton Forbes on a regular basis.
Ashton Forbes is a fucking dumbass.
I don't necessarily agree with you there. I mean, we can talk about what the film is and if it's fake or not, but yeah. He's looking at people online like.
And I'm Chase saying that Charles metaphorically, Taylor. You know, metaphorically, culturally, spiritually, not literally. I'm not defaming the guy. Well, he's a nice guy. I'm fired up right now. I didn't mean to use that language. Understand. He's a nice guy. He's wrong about that. That tape's fake.
Look, I just have to say though, these Charles Chase people, the people that are part of the JSON group. I mean, these guys are out openly talking about this disclosure happening and the cold fusion stuff they're working on.
But they're all at the same time saying that there's going to be a fake disclosure in 2027 of some satellite object coming toward us from a different galaxy or whatever, right? Or a solar system.
Right. That's a completely different area of discussion than what's being talked about with this other disclosure.
Okay.
And I honestly believe that these scientists, they have their hands tied. I mean, this technology that the U.S. has been using, I mean, we use it for human smuggling during natural disasters. It just goes so deep and dark that, like, of course, it's going to be hard to tell the public about any of this. Now, that's the first person that I think is good for disclosure. Second guy, look into a guy named Nathan Reynolds. He was on a podcast called The Confessionals, and he's apparently a part of one of these bloodlines that got plucked up real early on in age when he was being, like, raped by his granddad and stuff. But his testimonial was very moving, and it prompted me to go pick up the Bible and read it in a field somewhere because it was some really heavy stuff. So,
right,
you know,
we'll
take it
Mason out Reynolds on and talk about getting raped by his granddad. Thanks for the advice. I appreciate it. Brady in Arizona. Brady, what's on your mind?
Yeah, right on, Chase. You were talking about David Icke and what he was referring to. You know, it's Genesis 6, the book of Enoch. You're correct on that. But they are the watchers that came down onto Earth with Lucifer that landed on Mount Hermon. They then mated with humans. Their offspring became the giants of old, or what we refer to as the Nephilim. So a lot of this stuff, when you hear like different dimensions and aliens from outer space, no, there are no aliens. They are all demons, and they derive from the Nephilim.
I don't know what the difference is. I mean, isn't a demon an alien? They're not from here.
No. An alien, they all is from outer space. And when there is no such thing as outer space, that's hogwash. So
you don't believe in outer space?
There is no such thing as space.
All right. Bullet in my head. Clown car in New York. Clown car in New York. Give me that bullet, baby. How are you?
Hey, Chase, I got some good news for you.
I love it.
Justin Bieber has a new album out.
Ah!
Hey, listen, I don't mean to make you go nuts, but listen, them Canadians, they've been playing some games on us for a while now because Canadian smoke fire makes it to New York and gives everybody health and breathing and respiratory issues. But the best is, on 1010 Winds, they tell you when it's going to be. It's only going to be from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. every day, Monday through Friday. They've literally said that. Now, I'm curious. How come we don't have firefighters from New York and all around Jersey running up there to help them put these fires out? That's one. Number two, how come we aren't putting something against them like, hey, if you don't control these fires, you're making people here sick and they have a case against you? But that's just, you know, the wildfires. Remember when it turned the skies orange in New York? Well, that night it rained, and I caught a bunch of that rain in a bottle. And I'm telling you, Chase, I think I already told you about this. The bottle turned into like a black spawn, definitely graphene oxide. Something was growing inside that bottle, but that's another story. So everybody out there, please start taking some rain samples and bottling it and writing a date on it so you can get an idea. But, you know, and also, we're preparing and we're hearing a lot about fires all of a sudden. Burn it down, more fires. So I think we need to start to set up some wireless Wi-Fi trail cams So when these people go into the woods to start lighting the fires, we can get a good idea on who they are. And we need to, in New York City, we need to implement, you cannot get gasoline for your car until you've been scanned by one of those readers. You know, like you go to the club and the guy scans your car to see you're not a wanted felon and then they don't let you in the club. Mm-hmm. That's what they need to do for gas. Anybody who doesn't have a proper ID or whatever, you can't get gas in New York. That's another thing I was coming up with. But also, the wildfires, and they're blaming the climate control. You remember the 5 days of extreme heat New York was supposed to have?
Mm-hmm.
We're on the second day, and it's very mild. So what I'm guessing is, like the first time when they put too much ammonium nitrate in the air and it turned the sky orange in New York, they fired these machines up where it melts a whole bunch of stuff in Dubai. Did you see this?
Yep.
So now I don't know if that's more propaganda, because we are definitely feeling like we're being cooked from inside out. Whether that's the little RFID chips that are already in our body as the allowed plastic particles in the food, which probably have the little granite sand, and, you know, a little graphene oxide self-assembling nanobots in our bodies already that they've been putting in the food from McDonald's, the Burger King, and we've been eating this stuff all our lives. It's already in our body. So when they fire up HARPA and you're getting those little pinch feelings, that's probably these things burning inside your body, aside from that.
Well, the fact of the matter is, with these fires and whatever, man, some people just want to watch the world burn. And this is a zeitgeist of our culture. I mean, let's just watch this clip real quickly.
Targeting me won't get their money back. I knew the mob wouldn't go down without a fight, but this is different. They've crossed the line.
You crossed the line first, sir. You squeezed them, you hammered them to the point of desperation. And in their desperation, they turned to a man they didn't fully understand.
Criminals aren't complicated, Alfred. We just need to figure out what he's after.
With respect, Master Wayne, perhaps this is a man you don't fully understand either. A long time ago, I was in Burma. My friends and I were working for the local government. They were trying to buy the loyalty of tribal leaders by bribing them with precious stones. But their caravans were being raided in a forest north of Rangoon by a bandit. So we went looking for the stones. But in 6 months, we never met anyone who traded with him. One day, I saw a child playing with a ruby the size of a tangerine. The bandit had been throwing them away.
So why steal them?
Well, because he thought it was good sport. Because some men aren't looking for anything logical, like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated with. Some men just want to watch the world burn.
That's what we're seeing from the leaders right now. They're a bunch of mad jokers. They just want to watch the world burn, because the fact that anything glorious or impressive or magnificent could be made by anybody other than them, which is basically everybody other than them, disgusts them. They're so void of any self-esteem, self-respect. They can't look inward for any support or love of self or ambition, because there's nothing there. It's some massive abyss, some black hole that's got such a strong gravitational pull that all light is even drained into it. If you see them, you're just looking straight into the darkness, the vacant eyes of evil. These are the people that want to watch the world burn. It's just the way they are, and they always seek power because only those most vain and least filled with self-esteem care to have power, care to have formal authority, where they have any sort of title over you, where they want to be the manager or the boss or the foreman or the director or the president or congressman or a councilman or a mayor. They just suck so badly that they'll do anything. They'll lie, cheat, steal, manipulate, so they can get the title, so they can have the power of enacting the policies to destroy everything that normal people, God-fearing with self-esteem and families and enough confidence to just be responsible and their families enough for them, they'll just destroy everything that you create. That's their goal. That's what we've witnessed right here at InfoWars. We've witnessed this cabal of evil and vacant people. Soulless. Just attack this institution, this crew, to the extent that they've manipulated the FBI into spying on us. Sued us for more money than anyone's ever been sued for in a defamation case. In the name of some tragedy. for everything that we've created because they're bitter that they suck. I'm talking about the lawyers that have sued InfoWars. They are all tremendously huge faggots. You've seen the clips. You've seen what they look like. You've seen what they say. They're balding faggots. They're fat, puffy, overweight, retarded, corrupt, manipulative losers that will never have a fraction of the success that Alex Jones or this institution have had over the course of the last 30 years, won't have a fraction of the impact on the world, positive or negative, to the effect that Alex Jones and this institution and this crew has had on the world, and they know it and they hate us for it, and so in the name of dead children, they come after us to virtue signal. They say that we made money off dead kids. Nobody stands to make more money off dead kids than the lawyers coming after Alex Jones. So who's the bad guy here? And look, I'm not a bad man, but sometimes I have to ask myself, what would a bad man do? And we're getting to the point in this country where the corruption is so rampant, people, I'm not advocating for this, but people are starting to ask themselves, what would a bad man do? Blaine in Wyoming, what's on your mind? Blaine in Wyoming, tell me something good.
Hey there, Chase. I just want to tell you, buddy, you know what? For the first time ever, you are definitely my daily spirit animal, buddy.
Thanks, man.
All this energy. You know, I'm 53 years old. I've been putting up with this crap for so long. I feel for it. I feel for you. I feel for my children. I feel for myself. And it's the same thing. We fight, we go, we work hard every day, and it's just our wealth and prosperity has been robbed from us.
Amen.
And we have nothing left, and then go ahead.
I was saying amen. Keep going.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I'll be truthfully honest. I have not paid any of my taxes for the last 4 years, and I just can't bring myself to doing it. I don't want to fund these wars. I don't want to fund these deaths. I don't support any of this, and my God can't let me do it. I just can't bring myself to using my hard-earned money.
Well, hey, if just following orders wasn't good enough defense, and if just following orders wasn't a good enough defense in Nuremberg, then how would it be a good enough defense here? I mean, that's the way I feel. All my taxes are withheld because I'm an employee. So I'm fortunate enough not to be able to make that decision, but it would be very difficult for me if I was a small business owner to sign that check. Given what our government's doing, it'd be a lot easier under this administration than under the last one. But still, yeah, I'm with you, man. That's just, to me, writing a check to our federal government is akin to just following orders as a Nazi in 1936.
Yeah, I agree. That's exactly where I feel. I'm a truck driver, so it's not like I make a lot of money out here on the road, especially dealing with the crap we're putting up with right now. It's domicilial drivers taking all our loads and shorten our pay and just making it ridiculously unsafe for us to even drive out here.
Yeah. Well, amen. God bless you. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for supporting. We've got just a couple minutes left. Oregon Bob, what's on your mind?
Oh man, everybody's saying it, Chase, and you're out doing Old Faithful today, buddy. You're calling it the way it is.
Thank
and
you.
There's just too much to say in a couple minutes, but I will say this. I've been here for 65 years. And I've watched this thing go. And, you know, we're all lied to. We know that. Just like, what's more powerful, Chase, the pen or the sword? Well, we know the answer to that. Time to wake up. Time to wake up. We're on the last call, buddy.
Yeah.
I tell you what, we should get Alex Jones InfoWars in the form of, like, town halls. Get them going quick.
Yep.
Get people separated. Get the faggots separated from the godly man.
Amen,
because
brother.
What, King David didn't keep his kingdom by letting those faggots overrun him. And we got every right to defend ourselves. And it's time for good people to come together and figure it out that, hey, Satan is in charge of this. He's the one that's given the order.
Yeah,
and I know it, Chase.
Well, you know, Jesus said, "Those who live by the sword die by the sword." But Tolkien said, "You don't have to live by the sword to die by it." And you could say the same thing about the pen. Those who live by the pen die by the pen. We're seeing that a little bit now in the political class. But you don't have to live by the pen to die by it. So even if you're not a politician or you're not interested in politics and you're just too busy with your own thing, well, politics is taking an interest in you. And those who live by the pen are wielding it against you with their policies or their lack of policies, their failures, their lies, everything written down, transmitted across the globalist cabal in their conspiracy, all trackable on the digital frontier or in ink on paper. You can see with every written thing, with every vote, with every checkbox, all of the world's supervillains are conspiring against you, and now they're working together. They're not isolated villains with isolated ambitions. They have realized that if they work together, they can more successfully exploit and sabotage their own constituents, their own peoples, for the sake of their own class, and they'll deal with their differences later. So by God, go to the AlexJonesStore.com right now. Please, if you stack the ultimate turmeric gummies, which are back in stock, always out of stock, by the way, subscribe for 50% off. Make sure you always get theirs. Stack it with the Colostrum Plus, which is an incredible seller. Launched it yesterday. I've already been experiencing the benefits of it. And then you add the Ultimate Life Force, which is finally back in stock too, with the Methylene Blue. You are going to be a force to be reckoned with. You will shine with such light. No evil will have the courage to stare upon you, because it will blind them and send them into incessant darkness, the lightness of which they came. Please, for the love of God, go to the AlexJonesStore.com and get some products that are incredible for you, because every dollar you spend there is a round in the heart of the globalist cabal, satanic child trafficking cabal. Take them down right now at the AlexJonesStore.com, and stay tuned.
Our medical grade USP Ultra Methylene Blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it, because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your Ultra Methylene Blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Anybody who's halfway informed about health and vitality knows that turmeric is one of the top super nutrients in the world. But concentrated turmeric is what you want. Most turmeric pills are 4%. That's raw. This is the strongest, 95% curcuminoid, with a bunch of other concentrated super nutrients like ginger and black pepperdine. And it's finally back in stock. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies at thealexjonesstore.com. Just go see what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says about turmeric. And this stuff is the Godzilla of turmeric. And it funds the InfoWar. And while you're at thealexjonesstore.com, be sure to check out the widest selection anywhere of Patriot 1776 Part 2. Incredible clothing, ball caps, t-shirts, hoodies. It's all there, like this baby, the Second American Revolution, at thealexjonesstore.com. And you're funding the tip of the spear in the Second American Revolution when you support us. So I thank and salute you all. Now take action at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.